KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Looking for work?
To Tiger Field here on this Saturday evening edition. Data is covering all of the field. We've dropped below 80 degrees. It is a beautiful night in baseball here today. A great opportunity for some Colt 45s baseball here, looking to get the series win here tonight. Obviously, best 2 out of 3, they got the game tomorrow regardless, but looking to clinch the series as they won yesterday against Concert Zephyr's team with a score of 16-6. In the first game, Colt 45 scored 12 runs in the fifth inning, just a huge outing for them in the middle of that game, which got them the win, winning by 10, obviously. They improved to 15-3 on the year, and they're looking to clinch the series for win tonight. Zephyrs, obviously, dropping that one, looking to even it up and set a series-deciding game for tomorrow, but they actually out-hit the Colt 45s yesterday, but couldn't quite get the job done on the defensive side of things. A lot of walks, a lot of hit batsmen, and some unforced errors, which really drove home those runs and pretty much put the game to bed in that fifth inning for the Colt 45s.
Yeah, as we kind of talked about last night when it closed out the show, it wasn't like the Colt 45s getting that quote-unquote last laugh after the Jason Stephens homer in the second, and then walking away with the win was in fact your Colt 45s. Now that's one straight, and Chad Phillips actually on the PA system. The little weather out here. It's again 78 degrees, and we haven't even actually had first pitch yet. It's a beautiful night for baseball here in late June, and what has typically been a rather hot June and July. Tonight, Chase Phillips getting the baseball from, well, Drew Bumgardner, not Mr. Bob Anderson out there. So Drew Bumgardner also in the absence of Bob Anderson, who's out sick. And then for Zephyrs will be Hodges. Hey Hodges is the name we have. Not sure what his first name is, but yeah. But the, I don't want to say it. Well, I guess obstacle in a sense of just stuff we have to work around. Not everything's online on rosters and whatnot, so our best to get as much information as possible. We've talked about it throughout the last few seasons, of course, just that. And everything we can do to get as much information to you as possible to really make for overall go being better, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Just getting as much information as we can, but obviously we are much of the limited stuff here. This summer ball. And, just a great opportunity here. We're going to get the lineups to you momentarily. And the 445s, obviously, just on a one-game winning streak as of right now, looking to get back-to-back wins here and clinch the series, as mentioned, against this very strong team. Really well. They actually out hit the Colt 45s yesterday, as mentioned earlier, but just couldn't get the job done. Left a lot of runners on base, but so did the Colt 45s as well. So, a lot of runs, 22 runs throughout 9 innings, 12 of them coming just in the bottom of the fifth, the Colt 45s. So, took away that inning, and it's a completely different ballgame, and one that the Concord Zephyrs win pretty handily, I'd say.
Yeah, that fifth inning was almost on the scorecard for the Zephyrs, but again, Colt 45s, when you have a monstrous inning like that where you put 12 runs on the board, 9 times out of 10, that will be the difference in the ball game.
Right.
Now, Colt 45's lineup is getting an out. And Chase Phillips will be facing off against Jack Downing of this Zephyrs ball club.
And he's second.
And Mark Anthony Carroll. We'll just see what the Colt 45s can do tonight, because they had that 12-run fifth inning last night. But the thing about that was the fact that a lot of walks is only 3 hits in that endeavor. And if they chew together hits, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. So that will be the key of this ballgame for the 45s. And they'll have Parker back in the lineup.
Patrick Bowen Jr. is still in the lineup, and then Conklin and Chiarito in that 3-4 spot. I mean, Ayers back in the lineup, so they have the bats. Bats do tell,
absolutely.
You've got to string it together with the loss.
Right, absolutely. And I do believe that tonight's game can be much more difficult to win than last time. Obviously, they won by 10 runs, but you look at the numbers, and it was a relatively evenly matched, evenly scored game, apart from the runs, obviously, which is the most important. But I think the Colt 45s, his efforts are going to come out cleaned up, and they're going to be able to prevent those walks and hit batters from really paying dividends like they did last night. I think they're going to play a more clean game, and it's going to be a really interesting one here tonight. As you can get some wind blown back, it's slightly different than we normally get out here at Tiger Field, usually from blowing from left to right, kind of at our backs, coming back towards us here tonight. And I'm sure it'll be kind of like last night, where it's blowing all around, but nothing like a little breeze on a cool June night here in Redding, California.
Yeah, again, with this weather, it makes for a whole different level of, I want to say, freedom with the ball game, if that makes sense, but comfortability due to the lack of, I mean, both teams from rather hot areas, Concord can get up to 1 point as well, and for the 45s, they're used to playing in that heat, but when you have a team come up on the road that's not used to that heat, it creates a whole lopsided ball game, but in this sense, Concord used to it. We have a nice national anthem brought to you by the Sandlot Sound.
Summer travel is tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or pollen, sap and baked in grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Everyone, and welcome back here to the Tiger Field
in Redding, California. We'll have Spencer here with the lineups.
Thank you, Jacob. Starting off for the Concord Zephyrs, Gabe Jost patrolling center field is batting first, batting second, in right field is going to be Mason Renau. At first, batting third is going to be Brendan Wooster, we saw him there last night. And batting in the cleanup position is going to be Jason Stevens, going to be patrolling left field. Batting fifth, and in that DH spot is going to be Evan Karuma Rice. Followed batting sixth and manning the hot four on third is Caleb Ennis for these efforts. Batting seventh, and behind the dish is going to be Aaron Del Real. Followed by batting eighth and throwing second base is going to be Raul Ramos. And rounding off at short is going to be Keith Messi. And closing sides here, the outfield, P.A. going left in center is going to be D'Amico Parker, getting some more burn out there, and in right field is going to be Braden Chiarito. And on the infield, around the Conklin at third, at short, Mark Anthony Carroll, Deegan Palos at second, Patrick Sutton here at first, this is going to be Tyler Jones. Nod from both Bob Anderson and Drew Bumgarner is going to be Chase Phillips.
A solid lineup card being put together here by
the 45s.
Great offensive showing last night. You have to expect. And that will stay alive tonight.
We're going second year of training. Did the ceremonial first pitch with his partner officer, and what it really was the Reading Police Department putting on a little bit of a show with the the dog tackling protective gear.
It's a word for it. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
As he charges from the mound upon release and the command from his officer. Chase down the other officer in the full protective gear. Did a great job, Officer Colt, the German Shepherd. But we're waiting here. 445 is donning the home whites and the black shorts is underneath the Zephyr's gray bottoms, navy blue tops with the Zephyr's across the chest, and a very close to the Mariners style of the blue with the Mariners across the chest.
Yeah, again, very West Coast, if you ask me. Something we see from the Zephyrs a lot and from other teams coming from around that area.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that is the fun of... You see a lot of teams happily play on these, the teams out here in this area. And, I mean, the Alameda Anchors were one of them, of course, with the, quote-unquote, the A's. And they kind of used the A symbol, not really. And they used some high schools in the area using NFL-style logos.
Yeah, definitely.
And whatnot. But tonight, for the Colt 45s, they'll look to continue the winning streak. They've so far only had one win in a row, but looking to continue that can, well, will turn into a consecutive streak, because I'm jumping over my words there. Oh, my goodness. Concord with at least one loss straight. We don't have quite literally anything on them. But it will be Chase Phillips who's throwing the ball. And it's Kevin Hodges, the manager for... Zephyrs, the Colt 45s take Chase Phillips. He takes the mound.
And again, we were talking a little bit in the pregame show, a little bit systematic here for the Colt 45 so far. This on Saturday, Chase Phillips getting burned and getting the nod to start off in the middle game of the series pretty much every weekend, at least the ones I've called with you, which has been exciting to see some consistency from this Colt 45 ball club that you really never know what you're going to get as far as lineup goes.
Yeah. As Jose Villa... Well, I got the first name of the Humboldt umpire, Stan something. That's what we'll go with. Johnson.
We back the Blue Knight, folks.
And it is We Back the Blue Knight, which is part of why Colt, the canine, was in fact throwing out that first pitch for the 45s.
Yeah, third, and Steve Graves is over there at first base.
Jose Villa, last night's home plate umpire. As Chase Phillips will conclude his warm-up tosses as the tall righty will get ready to get underway here. And it's been an exciting night for baseball as always. Chase Phillips, sophomore right-hand pitcher, 6'8", 250 out of Taft, California. And yeah, just ability to throw that pearl pretty quick with that 6'8" frame.
And I do think we'll see a lot more strikeouts tonight coming from this Colt 45 side, and I'd assume the Concord Zephyr side as well, both just with the small little handful of strikeouts coming in yesterday's game.
First pitch misses inside. First pitch comes in at 7:18 p.m. And we are underway here at Tiger Field after Phillips delivers the first pitch to the right-hand batting. Gabe Yost swinging on this one, popped up on the infield. Phillips calling for it in front of the mound. Will squeeze it himself for out number one, and that's the way our ball game begins. Fielding his position, and yeah, I think after last night where there was just a very small handful of strikeouts from 45 pitch, there will be far more here tonight. There was only five last night, if all my stats are in fact correct, which hopefully they are.
Yeah, and that's a nod to the Zephyrs as well. They did a great job picking their pitch, and pretty much anything they felt like they should swing at, they were making contact with. Even if it was caroming foul, they still did a great job of just putting the ball in play and giving an opportunity to get on base.
Yeah. When you put the ball in play, this one's right on the outside corner, even the count up at one ball and one strike. When you put the ball in play, good things happen, as Dallas Braden of the Oakland Athletics has said multiple times. Here's the 1-1 delivery to the left hand, hitting Mason Renau with the open stance time called and granted late. So one ball, one strike. And Dick's back in. One ball, one strike, one out. Pop up to the pitcher to begin the ball game, and now Renau up, working a 1-1 count with one out. 3-2 down the right field line, 3-20 on the left field line. 3-60 to the left in the gap. 3-60 to the left in the gap. There's a fastball right on the left in corner. He starts called strike two. 4-06 straight away, just to the left of those flags, blowing out toward left field. Toward the street. Here's the 1-2 delivery with one out. The left-hand batter in the dirt, smothered by Jones. The battery made up Chick Phillips, Conklin, Carroll, Paulus, and Bowen Jr. around the horn. Third, short, second, and first. Timmy Ayers in left. Parker patrolling center, and Chiarito patrolling right field behind Mr. Chick Phillips as he kicks and deals the 2-2. It's chopped up the middle, ranging over to his left hand. A shot goes over his glove into center field for a base hit. Carroll ranging over, was going to get to it. Just skipped up on that third bounce on the high chopper and over his head into center field where DJ Parker will play it back.
Yeah, hard contact there from Renau. Obviously takes a really nice hop right over that second base and right over shortstop Mark Anthony Carroll, who usually would make a play like that. Just hit way too high off the hop. Definitely an aggressive contact swing there on the ground.
Now it's the right-hand hitting Stevens. Ground ball to the third baseman. Goes to second for one. It escapes the clutches of the second baseman. Paul backed up there by Chiarito. And everyone will be safe at first and second base.
Yeah, and just a quick little mistake there early on here from the hot corner from Conklin, which we see him play so well usually. So a little bit surprising there. Just couldn't quite hit the mark to Mark Anthony Carroll at second. Or Deegan Palace, it was at second. Sneaking by him there, but able to hold the runs and keep that ball roughly in the infield or in the shallow outfield, so kept the runs from 30 feet.
First and second. It's a ground ball back to Phillips. Behind his back, can't get to it. Slow roller towards second. Handled by Carroll. On the bag. Flips to first. In time for the 6-3. That's one way to get out of the jam. Four on the hand, the base hit. But two are stranded, or one is stranded, rather. Here at the end of the top of the first inning, no runs, stretched across by the Zephyrs here on KCNR. Scoreless after the top of the first inning with the Colt 45s coming up on the bottom
half. Tonight's Colt 45s game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Summer travel is tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or pollen, sap and baked-in grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand-scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
It will be Jack Downing for the Concord Zephyrs to take on Ayers, Carroll, and Conklin. 1, 2, and 3 for the 45s. Facing off here in the home half of the first. We've just gotten underway here at Tiger Field in Redding, California. Just a throwdown made by Del Real, the catcher. As the Zephyrs conclude their warm-up, and now stepping to the plate will be Timmy Ayers. So he shakes the catcher's hand, and of course, the home plate umpire, Stan. Stan something.
Yeah, and first time we'll see him facing off against Jack Downing.
of Concord Zephyrs guide, curious to see what he'll do tonight for the Zephyrs team, which played pretty solid defensively, taking away that fifth inning, of course.
Left-hand batter digs in. Peering in at the belt off that first base side out of the stretch is down and kicks and deals on the outside corner, about belt high for strike one. And also it was Brendan Lister back in the top of the first inning that reached on that E5, and then it was Jason Stevens on that 6-3 double play that grounded out, just to get my housekeeping in order. Here's the 0-1 delivery to Tim Ayers, left-hand batter with nobody out, nobody on. So line shot toward the shortstop and past the reach of him through the 5-6 going into left field, four base hit where Stevens will play it back. And to lead things off here tonight, Tim Ayers gets aboard.
Yeah, great contact there by Ayers, able to get the right through that 5-6 hole that we see him hit so often. And right to left field where he's patrolling here on the defensive side of things. But great way to start the game, getting their first hit on their first at-bat for the Colt 45s tonight.
Yeah, nice little inside-out swing. Pushed that ball through the left side. Wasn't fast by any means, but was quick enough to get through beyond the full extension of the shortstop. Now, Carroll to the plate. He's backed off of it. Takes way inside for ball one. Right-hand batter, third baseman Emmons, camped in on the grass, about a foot off the grass. Just a bit in front of the bag over there at third base. Four or five steps off the line. First baseman Lister holding down the runner at first. This one's chopped toward the third baseman, over a leaping third baseman, and past the shortstop, full extension of Matsy, and into left field for a base hit, so back-to-back base hits.
Yeah, and a couple of choppers we've seen so far from each side, just hitting it just a few feet off that infield, and taking a high hop over both third base and shortstop there we saw.
Yeah, and Matsy, the shortstop, could not cleanly get to it. Again, just barely beyond his reach. It was a slow chopper, but just unable to get to it. Now Conklin to the plate. First baseman will play in front of the runner at first. In the event of a ground ball toward him, they'll look to turn two with nobody out. Runners on first and second. They're also shaded up the middle in Mathieu and Ramos. Shortstop and second baseman as this one misses low for ball one to Preston Conklin, the third baseman tonight. And here's a chance for him right now to redeem himself after that error. Slightly open stance for the right-hand batter as the sun starts to peek out just a little bit between the clouds and over that tree line back behind us on the third base side. Showing bunt, pulls it back, goes into the attention of the backstop. Home plate covered by the first baseman and pitcher as everyone else will move up 90 feet on the wide pitch.
And this is a great start for the Colt 45s, obviously. A couple of base hits, now they're able to get a free 90 feet for each of them. We got two runners in scoring position, just a couple at-bats in.
And now the Zephyrs will draw the infield in as the sun peeking out. We've got cloud cover all the way over beyond left field, partly cloudy skies above the ballpark, but the sun peeking out just in time to get in the face of all these Zephyrs defenders. Is this one on the inside corner, belt high, to make the count two balls and one strike. The shortstop motioning over the second baseman where to go. See shades more towards second base with the third baseman and shortstop playing about, what'd you say, 10 feet apart or so on this left side of the infield. Huge lead over there at second base as this one misses inside to make the count three balls and one strike. The first baseman, essentially the lone fielder on the right side, huge hole between the first and second baseman. The second baseman playing about 15 feet off the bag at second. Carroll with a large lead over there at second base. Here's the 3-1 delivery. Breaking ball just misses inside, and Conklin will work a walk, so that will load the bases. A little bit of a deep breath now because it's a little easier to defend that. And now, Chad Johnson was going to shout out to that girl right there. I just saw it happening. She just found out she made All-Stars. Her name is Lacey. So congratulations to Lacey, the bat girl tonight, on making All-Stars at 12 years old. Phenomenal stuff. Now Sox up high for Chiarito, digs in from the left-hand batter's box. Still in on the grass, the first baseman and third baseman. Lister at first, Emmons at third. In the spot of the sun out there on the field after the sun peeking back out from behind the clouds over behind us.
And Downing so far just not able to hit his spot, trying to hit that zone. Paint the corners here and keep these Colt 45s honest, but unfortunately just hit things quickly.
Here's the 1-0. Right at the belts. Called strike one. Now the 1-1 delivery from Downing. Is he, again, trying to deal with those command issues like you said, Spencer? So he comes set, working from the stretch. The 1-1 just poked at, barely fouled off. Now Gal moves to 1-2 on the right fielder for the 45s tonight. Her on deck. Line continue to move. The near impossible, it should continue to move for the 45s. Deep in the box, even six for the left-hand hitting. Chiarito, the 1-2. Breaking ball just off the plate outside. Thought he was going to get the punch out there.
Yeah, really close again. He's not missing by much, but unfortunately he is missing. So bases are loaded here for the Colt 45s, and they got an opportunity to do some damage early, which we saw one run get scraped across for the Colt 45s last night in the first inning, but looking to double, possibly triple that here with runners on and nobody out.
Now this one misses low. Ball two on Chiarito. Ball three, rather. I keep checking that scoreboard to double-check my math. Now, 3-2 with nobody out. No place to put Chiarito with ducks on the pond. First, second, third, they take their leads. A single, and then a walk. Start off this bottom of the first of a scoreless ball game. Down and comes set, kicks, deals the payoff. Bounces it in the dirt. And walking in a run as Ayers will trot in to score. Everyone moves up 90 feet. Back-to-back walks.
Yeah, and this makes things interesting again early here. This is the start of the game, and it's feeling like the fifth inning already, as it was last night for the Zephyrs of the Colt 45s. See if they can get as many runs as possible here and get themselves some insurance early on. I mean, obviously, so much baseball to be played and fairly touch the top of this first inning. At the bottom of this first inning, rather.
Now speed to the plate as well with DJ Parker as he waves the wood back and forth and readies. Misses low and in for ball one to the right-hand hitting DJ Parker, who had the night off last night. Corners playing in, and they will go toward home to get the lead runner, and then go back toward first in the event of a ground ball to the corners. The 1-0 delivery misses low for ball two. Tried to bring it up from the south pole was the catcher Del Real, and it was unsuccessful. Now Parker digs back in. Open stance for the right-hand hitter. Recently signed to a D2 Hawaii Pacific. Here's the 2-0 delivery with nobody out, and the bases loaded. Check swing went around on it. Could not hold up on that one. Almost spinning in his stance. On deck is Patrick Bowen Jr. And here's the X factor of the night. 2 walks and 2 hits in the inning. If they can get a little bit more hits, the Colt 45s will have an absolutely powerful offensive night. Now this misses low and in for ball three. So 3-1.
Yeah, now if you're downing in the Zephyrs defense, you're worried about walking in back-to-back runs and keeping the bases loaded. Again, 0 outs just in this first inning, which I guess the first inning is better than any other inning. Give you the most time to come back.
3-1 breaking ball swung on and missed for strike two. Now DJ's seen it. A little bit of an assured nod and shake of the upper body as he digs back in now after stepping out. Some action out in the bullpen for the Zephyrs. The payoff delivery with nobody out, runners on first, second, and third. Down and kicks, deals. Check swing on a fastball low and in, and it is 3 straight walks, and it's now 2-0. The 45s lead it.
And as expected here, we'll get a quick time from the Zephyrs head coach or pitching coach. Make his way out and have a talk with the outfield, as well as Jack Downing, of course, with the ball on the mound.
Yeah, Kevin Hodges out there gathers the whole infield. And Chapman really just managed to shoot those couple of hits. Now it seems like he might be pitching around the next 3 batters that came up after, but again, nothing too crazy. Only the lone wild pitch, which really you like to think could have been smothered by Del Real. Especially with the bunt going, it's kind of hard to pick up that baseball as it's coming in, as Kevin Hodges now makes his way back toward the dugout. Some action out in that Zephyr bullpen, as I said previously, make his way back.
And I'm sure Patrick Bowen, all he's thinking about is not heading into a double play and putting something in the outfield, bringing another run across. Sacrifice fly with zero outs away and bases loaded is exactly what you want, other than, obviously, a base hit. But you cannot complain with just putting the ball in play here, as long as it's not into a double play.
Or even working another walk. And right. I had 10 last night. And already 3 tonight. Runners, at first, they take the leads. The off-speed misses up and away for ball one. Patrick Bowen Jr., left-hand hitter. Taps the plate with his bat. Back in the box. Here's the 1-0. Breaking ball. Misses wide again for ball two. Here's the 2-0 delivery from Downing. It's reached for. It's a line shot into left field. It'll get down for a base hit. Coming around to a score all the way from second base is Chiarito flying in. DJ Parker into third base and contesting the throw. And it's a 2 RBI single for Patrick Bowen Jr. A hard knock laced it into left. Conklin trotted in, and right on his heels was Chiarito as Parker moves all the way up to third, which is very difficult to do given the fact that that baseball went into left field. And now runners at the corners for Tyler Jones, the catcher.
Yeah, and great base running there, as mentioned by D'Amico Parker, and a great hit. The best slap of the night so far, Patrick Bowen, with a long single there. Now Tyler Jones got an opportunity with runners on the corners, zero outs away. Not much pressure on him here. 4-0, the Colt 45's lead here in the bottom of one.
I was going to say, especially in a 4-0 ball game, here's a pitch from Downing, off speed. Might have been a fastball, actually. A little bit right in there, right at the belt on that inside corner. And that's where the changeup and fastball, that changeup essentially a slower fastball where it slows as it gets toward the plate to simplify it a little bit. But you're supposed to, it's supposed to look like a fastball, and then as soon as you go get ready to swing on the heater, all of a sudden you're swinging in, swinging through nothing but air and come up empty. Just because it throws off your timing. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Right there again on the inner half. Called strike two to Tyler Jones. The seventh batter of this bottom of the first.
The slightest bit of disagreement on both called strikes from Tyler Jones. Just a little bit of a head tilt, a little bit of confusion there.
That strike zone still getting established here in the first, but it's been pretty strict for Mr. Downing. The 1-2 tried to drop it in there, but it was a bit high. Makes the count 2 balls and 2 strikes with nobody out. Runners at the corners. DJ Parker from third and Patrick Bowen Jr. from first. Wide stands for Jones. Here's the pitch from Downing. From the stretch, rocks and deals off the first base side. Breaking ball swung on and missed by Jones. And he, Chase, the first out of the inning for Jack Downing. That will bring up the designated hitter, Tyson Bragg, left-hand hitter. Dig into the box. With runners at the corners, now that double play would put the Zephyrs back in the dugout, and that's what they're looking for here. As the left-hand batter digs in with the purple batting gloves. First pitch by Downing is a line shot towards the third baseman on the backhand. Nowhere to go. Hits the line shot. Fantastic play by Emmons. Diving to it right toward the line and picked it up off the top of the dirt for out number two. And Bragg hit that one right on the screws.
Yeah, an incredible play there by Emmons. Again, not to take anything away from the contact Bragg made right down that third base line. Cross body, turning his shoulder, and making that grab, picking it up off the dirt, basically. But that is technically a flyout to third, which is about the lowest flyout you'll ever see for out number two.
Yeah, hit on a line shot and in that third base. Hot corner. Yeah, just that line out to third. A great play by the third baseman Emmons as this one misses low and in. So ball, 2 balls on the 9-hitter, which is also the 9th batter of this bottom of the first. And called strike there.
Yeah, and a good find there by downing, needing a strike there. If he goes down 3-0 there, you got to assume the bases will be loaded again. Deegan Pallas would just sat there patiently, waiting for one to miss.
Here's the 2-1. It's a broken bat, little chopper back toward the pitcher who handles it cleanly and flips the first in time for the 1-3. But the Colt 45s get four on three hits and a couple of walks as they now lead it at the end of one.
Tonight's Colt 45s game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Score right now as the Concord Zephyrs take the plate for their second inning of work here. Evan Karuba-Rice due up, followed by Caleb Emmons on deck, and in the hole is Aaron Del Real, the catcher for tonight's Zephyrs lineup. Chase Phillips with his second inning on the mound here, looking to make it as flawless as the first, as this one's going to get fouled back for strike one. And 4-0, four runs coming across on three hits and three walks for the Colt 45s. And they're up for the Colt 45s in the bottom of the first. And this will even count 1-1. This one misses just inside. This 1-1 from Phillips fouled back again. It'll bring the count to 1-2. Still no strikeouts on the night for either side. Or my mistake for the Colt 45s. Downing did get one on Tyler Jones there.
I was going to say, yeah, we haven't seen one from Chase Phillips
just yet, but I anticipate one this inning for sure.
Couldn't agree more. As Phillips there. Bring him up there. Got him looking on the inside corner. A little bit of hesitation from the umpire. Had me confused there, but looked like it hit the zone, and it did, right in the inside corner for the first strikeout of the night for Chase Phillips.
I was going to say, just like that, yeah, 1-2, dropped it in there. Got the nice little breaking ball. Beautiful pitch from Phillips on cue.
Now it's the right hand hitting Caleb Emmons with that fantastic play at the hot corner to nab the line out. He calls a called strike one.
There's the 0-1 delivery.
Right there at the knee.
Called strike two. As the right hand hitter taps
the plate with his bat
and running up on strikes there again, looking. So back to back backward K's. And that one was a very quick
1-2-3 punch.
Yeah, good looking three pitches there from Chase Phillips. Del Real up to the plate for his first attempt here tonight.
Right hand batter. The backstop takes a called strike one right at the knee. That strike's been a little bit more expanded.
And Chase Phillips must have heard us up here in the booth. He's looking for three strikeouts in a row, as this one's going to miss and even up the count. 1-1.
Yeah, he definitely wants to just punch out the side. Here's the 1-1. This is just a bit up and away off the plate. two balls and one strike to the right-hand hitting Aaron Del Real, catcher tonight. With the Zephyrs, there's a ground ball toward the shortstop. Carroll gobbled up there, throws across in time. The extension by Bowen Jr. and the side is retired. The Zephyrs go 1-2-3, a couple of K's for Phillips as we head to the second inning. 4-0 ball game. Crimson in Redding, California.
Tonight's 45's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Redding has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Redding. Quick and clean.
We have some shitty games here on the team. Put by Rick Vicente, our GM. Set him down 1-2-3, and then top out the first. Only allowed one hit, but that has been. On the other side. He faced 9 in the bottom of the first. That's quite literally what you do not want to do. So look to mix his pitches maybe a little bit up. Have less command issues. That would be my guess. Just kind of figure out what sticks. Throw some pasta at the wall, see what sticks.
There you go. That's a great one there. Love that. Yeah, good opportunity to really right the ship, turn it around here. It's so early in this ball game, only 4-0. Obviously not the best start, not the most ideal start for the Zephyrs, but, they conceded 12 in one inning last night, so it could always be worse. And they have the offense to be able to come back and get themselves into this game. They might have to scrap and claw for every bit of it, but I'm sure they're determined to do that, and they're willing to as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You have to be. It's a very scrappy game. As, again, the leadoff man airs up to the plate, will be followed by Carroll and Conklin. The first pitch misses low, just a bit outside as well for ball one. As clouds moving, drifting ever so slightly up above the ballpark, some pretty big cumulus clouds. This one's hitting the air towards center, giving chase as a center fielder. It's going to go beyond his head all the way to the wall. Airs around first. He's headed for two. He's going to hit the bag at second. The throw coming in is going to be late. Side. Timmy Ayers with a triple. It is over the center fielder Yost's head all the way toward the wall out there in center field, and he just turned and burned.
Yeah, incredible speed there on the base running from Ayers, just making his way around the base paths perfectly. And obviously that ball going way over into deep center field, it looked like.
And that was the wind being
lost it a little bit. Yeah, and it just kept on carrying and carrying out to deep center field and ended up hitting the wall before he was rounding second before the ball was even in the hands of Jost. So incredible triple there, and that's a single and triple early on, 2-for-2 for Timmy Ayers as Mark Anthony Carroll will wear this first pitch from Downing, and things are looking a little bit grim for this Zephyrs defense.
Yeah, now you just need to settle in here if you're Downing, which we said back in the first, but again, now it's the issue of not having the command issues, not giving up hits either. Now it's the right-hitting Conklin to the plate. He walked his last time up. This is low, and taking second base as it's bobbled by the catcher is Carroll with the heads-up base running. Take second base, and if he drew a throw, Ayers was going to definitely break from third, try and scratch an easy run across. good job by the catcher, Del Real, to just hold on to it and eat it. Conklin working a 1-0 count with nobody out. Waves the bat back and forth. Slightly open stance. Here's a 1-0 with runners at second and third. The infield drawn in. This is low for ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Ready, kicks, deals. Check swing, doesn't matter, bottom of the zone. 2-1 now to Conklin. He'll work that walk back in the first part of the four-run bottom half of the first by the Colt 45s. Delivery, fouled back to the screen, and we'll do it again. As Chiarito will do a little bit of ball boy activities, go chase that foul ball down from near the backstop.
Yeah, and just a little bit of opposite end, or opposite from most nights, opposite directional wind coming in from right blowing towards left field, pushing out a little bit towards that street out there.
Here's the 2-1. It's chopped toward third, foul. Just a bit out of play. Yeah, the wind pushing out way more than it has
right.
any other weekend, both tonight and last night. And then also with that, shadows playing a bit of a factor due to the inconsistency as there's spots of sun all over in right field and then parts of deep left center field and shallow center field out toward right center field, just some sun splotches. But other than that, shadows covering pretty much all of the field. There's a 2-2. Is a ground ball toward the third? Go home. Cut down the runner home. Out there and getting the easy out. Carroll moves up to third, though. Air is a race on the play. Moving third is Carroll, and Conklin reaches on the fielder's choice. Gobbled up by Emmons and went home and got airs by about 30 feet or so.
Yeah.
And definitely the right play to make.
Yeah, absolutely a good play. Definitely a sketchy play, a little bit of a scary play to make. As it's obviously it is a force out, but if he chose not to go and then Carroll decides not to go as well, you know, it makes it really complicated. But now runners at the corners and you save a run from coming across. So they executed that really well, even though it wasn't exactly the easiest play to make.
And now they can move to double play depth as this one escapes the catcher momentarily, but it gets to it. Popped up over his head some way, somehow. And smothered it very quickly, Del Real. And now that double play no longer in order with Conklin taking second base on the play. So now the infield moves back to playing in. No double play to get out of the jam now. They did have the corners playing in previously against this left-hand hitting Chiarito to the plate who walked his last time up. Here's the 1-0 delivery from the righty down and kicks, steals. Just a bit low and in. Great spot there from Downing, just didn't get the call on that breaking ball. Peering in, glove near his front leg, comes set from that first base side, looking for a ground ball or a punch out. Here's the 2-0. Breaking ball on the outside corner, belt high. 2-1 with one out. Left-hand hitter, huge hole on the right side between the first baseman and second baseman. First baseman playing about 4 or 5 steps off the bag. Second baseman, Ramos, playing about 10 feet towards first. Comes fouled off toward the first dugout and bare hand play made by Kevin Hodges, the manager. On deck is DJ Parker. Runners at second and third. The wind swirling out there towards center. Center fielder Yost shaded toward left. Just a few steps. Here's the 2-2 delivery from Downing as he gets his sign and comes set, working from that first base side out of the stretch. Runners take their leads from second and third. The 2-2 is shot toward the second baseman and is going to go over his head all the way into shallow right center field. Rounding third is Conklin. He will come in to score, and it's a 2-RBI single for Braden Chiarito.
Yeah, great hit there. Again, just another chopper. We've seen quite a few of those so far. This game's seen one in every inning, just making hard contact, and the ball is just skipping off that infield grass today. I don't know what it is. Maybe that little weather wind shift. It's bouncing high, and it's bouncing hard.
Yeah, just a lot of spin on those baseballs. They're not barreling the baseball, but they're putting it in play, and when you put the ball in play, good things happen. We talked about it before on the pregame show, and in this case, same thing. We're seeing it live. When you get the ball bounce your way, all of a sudden it's a brand new ball game. This is something that other teams come in here and do against the Colt 45s. And the Colt 45s have tended to capitalize more on the walks and errors the hit batsman versus the actual hitting aspect. and in this case, putting the ball in play, forcing the Zephyrs to make some tough plays. Here's a one. This one skips all the way toward the backstop, toward the screen, and taking second base is Braden Chiarito.
Yeah, taking away that double play opportunity again, just based off of an unforced error, and just, again, just some unforced error so far has been the story of the scoreboard for the Zephyrs this weekend, on the defensive side of things more than anything. They've helped out the Colt 45s in more than three or four ways, by the walks, the hit batsmen, the wild pitches, and the errors even on the infield.
This breaking ball brushes Parker off the plate. That's ball three to DJ Parker, who walked on the 3-2 pitch in his first at-bat tonight, back in the first. Here's a 3-0 delivery from Jack Downing, the righty. Misses low for ball four, and DJ Parker works himself a three-pitch walk. I will put two runners on for Patrick Bowen Jr. As the catcher, Del Real, will trot out to the mound, have a quick word with his starting pitcher, Jack Downing, who's just had a rough go of things. Mostly been command issues, but also getting some strike calls, not getting the best strike zone we've ever seen, but also not the worst. And when you mix that with just some odd moving baseballs out there on the field, it's going to create some havoc. Now a slow walk. A saunter from the catcher, Del Real, honestly just trying to ice this Colt 45's offense, which, again, hasn't been too powerful. They haven't really barreled the baseball yet, apart from Timmy Ayers' triple, but even that wasn't really a line shot. It was just caught up into the wind and just kept carrying over the center fielder. Couldn't track it down.
Yeah, and I would say that's this
one here is line shot toward the center fielder. Yost, been snaring it. Having to climb the ladder with that baseball riding the wind that will hold the runners at first and second as he turns and plants and sucks it back into the diamond. And now two gone here for Patrick Bowen Jr. Hit that one right on the screws, again on cue. But Yost able to track it down, catches it for the line out, and that will bring up Tyler Jones, who struck out swinging his last time up.
Yeah, I was about to say, Timmy Ayers, obviously that triple is really impressive, but Patrick Bowen Jr., they're back-to-back, unfortunately. Great play out there in center field, but his around the score was very impressive as well. Probably one of the better-looking hits so far tonight, but still more active on the offensive side of things than last night where they were working the free stuff. Still getting a few hits here.
Fastball misses wide for ball one. Yeah, last night they were out-hit, and they played worse defense in terms of errors, and they also left more aboard than the Zephyrs did.
And they won by 10. Pretty incredible. It wasn't a close game. It wasn't a nail-biter by any means.
It's a chopper through the right side for a base hit. Turning at third, headed for home is Chiarito. The throw-in is going to be cut off and not in time. DJ Clark holds it third behind him. Chiarito comes in to score on the RBI single from Tyler Jones, who comes through and collects another hit for the Colt 45s. And DJ Parker, rather, did it again, similar to last weekend. And now Kevin Hodges is going to come out and chat things over, as Tyler Zanis will be the courtesy runner for Jones. He has the night off in terms of starting, at least.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see him come in and get an at-bat in the 8th or 9th inning, if needed, if game's already roughly in hand, more or less.
And just like that, the night will be done for Jack Downing, who goes an inning and 2/3 plus. He faces 16 Colt 45s and gives up a total of 7 runs, pending the runner still aboard, and just a rough go of things for Jack Downing. And we're going to cut the break to allow the new reliever to his warm-up tosses, and we'll be right back here on KCNR. We'll be the reliever facing off against Tyson Bragg with 2 outs and runners at the corners here in the home half of the second. It's 7-0. The 45 lead it.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Summer travel is here, and summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
KCNR Shasta Reading.
You're tuned into Colt 45's Baseball here on KCNR Shasta Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at kcnrradio.com. Jacob Green and Spencer Schlinge here with you. It's great to have you with us. As a reliever, Jackson Dalton wrecked. Well, coming to this ballgame for Jack Downing. Runners at the corners. Both of those runners are the responsibility of Downing, who got the baseball tonight from Kevin Hodges. We're here in the home half of the second. First pitch, swing and a miss by the left-hand hitting Tyson Bragg. Four strike one. His first at-bat had that line out on the great play by Emmons, the third baseman. That open, slightly open stance, very widespread stance. Here's the 0-1. It's popped up foul out of play beyond the third base dugout of the 45s. He stays alive. No balls and one strike to Bragg. No balls and two strikes, rather, with two outs and runners at the corners. The 0-2 bounced in there, misses low.
Yeah, good job, Del Real. They're able to keep that one in front of him and keep this. Runners at the corners here, obviously, an opportunity for Tyler Jones to move on, or Sanheiser, actually.
Yeah, over there, first, has the ability to get to second quickly if needed. Here's the 1-2 delivery from the righty. It's going to brush Bragg off the plate, but it plunks him in the process as he will take his base that moves Sanheiser up to second. And now the bases are loaded for Deegan Paulos, who grounded out back to the pitcher his last time up.
Yeah, and Paulos has seen that before as well. He got hit by a pitch back-to-back last night in the fifth inning. Back-to-back hit by pitches. So looking to, I'm sure he'd take that, but.
Well, debatable in the sense of you'd rather get a hit, but
right,
also
right.
You'll take it any day.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah, definitely situational.
You're in an 0-2 hole.
Here's the first pitch to the right-hand hitter off the plate outside for ball one. One ball and no strikes to the right-hand hitter. Digs his back foot in. Infield playing behind the runners. Here's the 1-0 delivery. At the bottom of the zone, wow. Just barely. A low strike issue there for sure. One ball and one strike all the way in the southern hemisphere, to say the least. Here's the 1-1 delivery from the righty. It's stopped, foul. Out of play. Down that third base side. So one ball and two strikes. Here in the home half of the second. Ducks on the pond here. First, second, and third. Here's a 1-2 delivery with two gone to the right-hand hitting. Paulos. 1-2. Misses low and away in the dirt. It's ball two. Two balls and two strikes. And this five pitch at bat now. And the 2-2 delivery. This is low again. Just some visible frustration there from the reliever wrecked. A little jumping up and down, kind of clench of the fist as he just can't get that baseball to stay elevated. It keeps dropping way too low, hitting the dirt, trying to get a punch out with it. Now a full count of three balls and two strikes. He does not want to walk in a run. The payoff is right there, just a bit above the belt. Now we'll walk in a run. And again, the Colt 45 send 9 to the plate, and now the 10th batter of the inning as another walk is issued.
Yeah, bases loaded as well, still working. That's 4 runs in the first inning, 4 runs in the second inning. They got an opportunity here to do some real damage.
And the Colt 45's a textbook start for them so far.
Yes, Timmy Ayers will lead things off here. He tripled earlier in this inning. Sky is this one. Back behind shortstop in shallow left center field. No man's land getting called up by the left fielder charging in. Stevens able to squeeze it. And the side is retired. But the Colt 45's, again, get a handful. They strand them loaded. After Breck comes in, does a little janitorial work for Downing. And after two complete, it's 8-0 in the 45's lead.
The game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. First pitch swinging, fouls it off the front leg. That's the right-hand batting Raul Ramos, the second baseman for the Zephyrs. And it's taking the rest of the way through this third inning. Here's Spencer.
Jacob, as this one's going to get hit into center field, D'Amico Parker just a couple steps back and able to make the grab. And Raul Ramos with good contact, but D'Amico Parker not having to move but a few feet here, and that is out number one here in the top of the third. First hit to the outfield for the Zephyrs tonight.
Yeah, and again, a solid knock. Barrel, yeah. But just right at the Colt 45.
As this one up back by Keith Mattie. Yeah, one count here. And if you're the Zephyrs, just trying to get anything on base here, try to get some ducks on the pond, try to bring some runners across here in this inning, because the sooner the better, as they are down 8-0 early here. As another call, Maddie will take. It's an 0-2 count. Chase Phillips delivers the 0-2 as it's fouled towards the Zephyrs dugout. And the count remain 0-2. Phillips kicks and deals the 0-2. Misses just low. It'll bring the count to 1-2. And Mattie, his first at-bat of the night here, coming in the third inning with an out away. Phillips wasting no time. Got him swinging. And able to hold on to it is Tyler Jones at catcher. So that'll be out number two. And the third strikeout for Chase Phillips. And now it'll be the top lineup with Gabe Yost. Who's patrolling center field. He flew out right back to Chase Phillips on the second pitch of the night. Get back in the first inning. So he's looking to put something in play here. Two outs away, and a two-out rally seems mandatory here in the third inning. The Zephyrs want to get something going and get back into this ballgame. As we will watch a called strike. Phillips again, wasting no time, swung on hard. Going to find some space in between left and center field. It's a good-looking hit there from Yost, and it'll be a stand-up single in that 7-8 hole. Out there finding some empty grass. Mark Anthony Carroll and D'Amico Parker both giving chase to that, as well as Timmy Ayers out there and left. None of them able to get to it in time. It finds the space. find some open grass there. And now we got a runner for the Zephyrs, and Mason Renau will be due up. Two outs away here in a 8-0 ball game at the Colt 45's lead here. Top of the third. Dugout, the Colt 45's dugout, and that will be strike number one. Chase Phillips will get a new baseball here. Phillips delivers the 0-1. This is just outside. They'll bring the count 1-1. And we're now singled back in the first inning. He was stranded on second base in that double play that got both Lister and Stevens, who are due up here in this inning, should it continue. And he will watch one here miss just inside for ball two. So a 2-1 count for the punch out here. Here's the 2-1 from Phillips. This is just low again. It'll bring the count to 3-1. Phillips yet to walk a batter, but one ball away from doing that here. He's going to try to find the zone and make it one Renau should swing at. Here's the 3-1. Swung on hard. It's going to be foul again. Possibly stay in play for third baseman Conklin. And not able to make the grab. It will be foul. Just out of the ballpark. And it'll fill the count. 3-2. And the payoff pitch will be pending here. Three balls, two strikes, two outs, and an 8-0 ball game. That the 45 lead. And the Zephyrs have a runner on first here, just trying to get anything across and start up a two-out rally here in the top of three. And a quick little pause as everyone makes their way back to their spots here. Maybe a little shaken up there, Preston Conklin grabbing the knee. Couldn't quite, was a little bit shaded by that. Colt 45 dugout may have ran into the fence there. Yeah, he looks to be wincing just a little bit, as here's the full count, swung on. Deegan Paulos making an incredible play, keeping the ball in front of him, and an incredible play by Deegan Paulos at second. A 4-3 putout, how about that? And the Zephyrs threaten, but they do not score on a base hit that should have definitely brought a runner around. And that is how the inning will end. Stranding one to the Zephyrs, but they do not score on one hit. And we will be heading to the bottom of three here in an 8-0 lead for the Colt 45s.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Two up for your Colt 45s in the bottom of the third is Mark Anthony Carroll, followed by Preston Conklin, and in the hole is Braden Chiarito, all getting their third opportunity at the plate here in the third inning, which should tell you the story of the ballgame here. 8-0, Colt 45's lead. Four runs in the first, four runs in the second, and a bunch of goose eggs for the Zephyrs on the offensive side of things.
and a relief pitcher already in Jackson Dalton Recht, getting his first inning of burn here, full inning, that is. Yeah, Mark Anthony Carroll on the night. Singled, came around to score, and was hit by a pitch, and came around to score here. So looking to pick up where he left off here, just on base and coming around to score. Keep it 100. Or 1,000, rather. As he watches one miss just low for ball one. Mark Anthony Carroll digging in. Colt 45s repping the all-white jerseys here tonight with the yellow sleeves and the black undershirts, as this one's going to get chopped, and a missed play there by shortstop in Keith Mady. And that is going to be a single for Mark Anthony Carroll, possibly on the E6 there, most likely. Not the easiest play there by Matthew, but couldn't quite get the glove on the ground there on a little chopper. And Mark Anthony Carroll will reach first safely. Now Preston Conklin takes the plate. He has walked, and he has reached via the fielder's choice. And he has come around to score both times. As this first pitch misses just high on Conklin for ball one. Mark Anthony Carroll on first. Wouldn't be surprised if he went for something here. It's zero outs away. And this one does hit the inside zone. It'll be 1-1, even up the count. Just inside at the knees, called strike. Mark Anthony Carroll dancing off first base right now, being held on by Lister, as this one misses just inside. It'll bring the count to 2-1. As the sun's still peeking around here, maybe in the very deepest parts of the ballpark, just getting that American flag standing up there in deep center field. As this one swung on by Conklin, it's going to find some open grass in between second and shortstop, and Mark Anthony Carroll's going to go for third, and he is going to get rung up, goes for the swing move, but not able to get around the tag. A great play out there from center fielder. That is going to be Yost making the throw in to Emmons, and Emmons supplying the tag, so it is going to be out number one, but reaching second is Preston Conklin.
Yeah, Conklin advancing to second on the throw, which is a great heads-up play by Conklin. However, Carroll decided to test the arm of Yost, and Yost, it wasn't necessarily the greatest throw, but it got there in plenty of time, and Carroll tried to do all he could with the swim move, as you said, Spencer, but just unable to not get around it, and that's out number one. And it's just a fantastic play by the defense out there, and yeah, now cloud cover over the ballpark now, and it is reminiscent of the marine layer that comes in into those Bay Area ballparks, to say the least. Reminds me of my childhood watching games at the Coliseum. Just that cloudiness over the ballpark.
As Braden Chiarito in for his third at-bat of the night, as he will take a called strike. He'll even up the count here, one ball and one strike. He has also come around to score both times, one via the walk and one on a single that actually drove in a run, if I'm not mistaken, as well. Or maybe two, actually. I believe it was two runs coming across there on the Chiarito single in the bottom of the second.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I remember, I think it was a two RBI single is how I called it.
As this one's going to miss for a ball, it'll bring the count to 2-1.
Cite myself as a source there.
There you go. You're a very reliable source as well.
You know, I try to be. That's kind of my whole here.
Conklin's still on second with a decent lead. No one there to hold him on right now. 2-1 count. Swung on. And it's going to carry him just foul. Kind of just turned away from him there. If that stayed fair, it would have been a great hit there by Chiarito. Even up the count 2-2. And it definitely would have brought Conklin around to score. A close one. Great contact on the ball, but it's just going to be about 10 feet out of that first base line in the outfield.
Yeah, Conklin would have been able to crawl around third base
right.
And score. That thing was roped down the right field line, just couldn't quite keep it fair in that 3-10 marker out there.
It's a 2-2 count here. Rex still looking for his first strikeout of the night. Opportunity for it here. And he will miss just outside. Trying to get Chiarito to chase this, something it'll fill up the count. And Jackson Dalton wrecked again. First full inning of work here, coming in relief a little bit earlier than expected. Two-thirds of the way through the second inning. 8-0 ball game here. Runner in scoring position on second is Conklin. payoff pitch here coming from Dalton Recht. Looks off Conklin. Here's 3-2, swung on foul, and we will do it again as it goes to the dugout. Out towards those bocce ball courts behind us.
Yeah, a little bit off time with these swings. And playing the game over there with Mattier, a little cat and mouse game over there at second, dancing off the bag, Conklin.
And an hour into this ball game now, 8-0. Colt 45's lead here in the bottom of the third inning. Looking to continue to keep the pressure on the Zephyrs here, who have had all but everything go their way.
Yeah, another look back toward the second. Now it goes home.
And that one's going to miss high, and it will be a full count walk. And Chiarito will take first for free, which could be worse for the Zephyrs. They are going to have an opportunity for a double play, as it has been very slow moving when the Zephyrs have been out on the field. Just trying to make plays. Outs have been hard to come by, and it's not going to get any easier as D'Amico Parker here is up to the plate, who was walked both times patiently waiting, and he came around to score, was stranded on third in the first, and came around to score in the second. So looking to put that ball here. Runners on first and second for Parker. He could definitely bring a run around to score. Maybe even a pair. As this one swung into shallow center field, under it is Yost, and able to make the grab. Runners decide not to go. Probably a wise decision there. First pitch swinging will fly out to center is D'Amico Parker. So two outs away, runners remain on first and second, and two up is Patrick Bowen Jr., who singled and flew out to center as well in the first and second inning.
Yeah, kind of surprising there from DJ Parker. He hasn't hit the ball really well tonight at all. He's walked twice, and then that just a mile-high pop-out skied it towards shallow center field where the center fielder, Yost, was able to just to camp underneath it. It was a can of corn, even with this wind blowing, which is now blowing in from left center field, and a little bit of a cross breeze. This one misses wide to the left hand, hitting Bowen Jr., who is singled and lined out tonight.
Yeah, so 1-0 count here for Bowen as the left-handed hitter digs back in. Dalton Recht still searching for that first strikeout, but so far hasn't brought any runners across on his own watch, as the eight have come across from Jack Downing in the 1 2/3 innings he pitched. Not his best night, of course, but an opportunity to turn it around possibly tomorrow, as his arm will still be relatively fresh. As this one swung down the first baseline, but it will be foul. Close one there, just a few feet away from being a fair ball, just ripped down the first baseline, and I don't think Lister was going to stay in front of that one. That would have brought Conklin around to score, surely, as it would have caromed all the way out to that right fielder. And that is a long throw from right field to home plate, for sure.
100%, especially from foul territory.
Right. 2-1 count here for Conklin, or Bowen, rather, as Conklin holds on second after the wild pitch, decides not to go. And on first is Braden Chiarito still. That will bring the count to 3-1. And looking to work the walk now is Bowen Jr. Here's the 3-1, and stepping off will be Dalton Recht, giving time.
I think part of the methodology here for these Zephyrs is to slow things down. Don't get caught up in the motion and commotion of the ball game.
Right.
Make your throws very intentional, or your pitches very intentional.
Here's 3-1 called strike, and a great placement pitch there from Dalton Recht, and it will fill up the count.
I was going to say, and keep your head in the count.
Right.
Don't lose a batter on a 2-1 delivery or a 2-0 delivery because you didn't get a strike call. You have to stay in it no matter what the count.
Here's the payoff. Misses high, and runners will go for free as they both went to steal. It won't matter. They will get those 90 feet anyways. And bases are not loaded with two outs away, and Tyler Jones up to the plate. In an 8-0 ball game, the Colt 45s lead. In the bottom of the third here, Tyler Jones singled in the second and struck out swinging in the first. But he did bring a run across in D'Amico Parker back in the second inning.
That is a total of 7 walks issued tonight. Like, Zephyr pitching. And they hit, the Colt 45s had 10 total last night. Now, Jones at the plate. And if you're the Zephyrs, you got to cut it out now and figure it out, because pretty soon you're going to lose this ballgame before it's even halfway over.
Right.
Already down by 8, and now Ducks on the pond.
And no runs have come across this inning. They still have the opportunity here. It's just bases are loaded, and Tyler Jones is going to swing at anything here, as this one's called strike one. With 2 outs, runners will be going on anything, rather.
Yeah, they'll be able to break on contact with 2 outs, and then, again, if it moves to a full count, they'll be able to break as soon as he's into his delivery.
Yeah, and the Zephyrs are fully capable of getting themselves out of this, whereas the last two times, as this one hits the zone for strike two, and again, Jones, probably one he could have swung at there, decides to hold off of it. 0-2 count. But yeah, in the first and second inning, bases were loaded before there was a single out.
I was going to say, this is the best shape they've been in to have a shutdown inning.
Right, right. Here's the 0-2, an opportunity for Dalton Recht to get back in the dugout. And it plunks Tyler Jones, and it will walk in a run just on the inside towards the elbow. And everyone will move up 90 feet. And coming around to score off the hit by batsman will be Preston Conklin. And that extends the Colt 45 lead to 9-0. And Tyson Bragg, the designated hitter, due up with the bases loaded. Great opportunity for him here, as the cloud cover sitting right over the ballpark now. Some dark, mean gray skies that you usually don't see in June here in Northern California.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's very nostalgic for me. Just,
right.
Again, not only being from the Bay Area, but with the lights on and the great cloud cover looking like a marine layer later in the night. And, you go into the summer ball games where you show up in shorts and a t-shirt at 85 degrees at the fifth or sixth inning. Cloud cover overhead, you throw that hood on and put the jersey on top, look at the green and gold.
There you go.
Up in the third deck of the ballpark, some great memories out there. Or down there, I should say. Swing and a miss. Got him on the back door.
Yeah, hard swing from Bragg there. He knows the bases are loaded. He's a designated hitter. He's got absolutely nothing to lose here. In a game that's 9-0 here in the third inning, he's just swinging for the fences, you'd have to assume.
Yeah, and the Zephyrs have gotten better as the ball game's gone on, but they find themselves in a 9-0 hole.
Here's the 0-1 from Dalton Recht. Misses just high, and it'll even up the count. Close pitch there. As the lights have been switched on here at Tiger Field, yet to take too much of an effect, but by the end of the fourth inning, I'm sure it will have. Bragg watches one down in the dirt. Del Real doing a good job keeping that one in front of him, as bases are loaded and runners could have all advanced, possibly, or at least brought a run around to score if that one caromed off the backstop. 2-1 count here for designated hitter Tyson Bragg. Bases loaded, 2 outs away. There's the pitch. Hits the zone, and it'll even up the count 2-2. Tyson Bragg looking at that one. Probably thought it was a little bit outside, but it does make its way back into the zone. Levels the count 2-2. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Bases loaded. And the left-handed hitter here looking to do some damage, bring some runners across. Dalton Recht with the pitch here, swung through that shortstop and third base hole, through that 5-6 hole. 2 runs will come around and score. And it is a good-looking single. 2 RBI single for Tyson Bragg, and that brings the score to 11-0 here in the bottom of the third inning. And it is all Colt 45s out here at Tiger Field tonight.
Tyson Bragg poked it through on that left-hand side opposite field, punched it through, got the 2 RBI single, and it was bobbled out there in left. Anheuser had the chance to get into fifth gear at second base and try for 3. Likely would have been thrown out, but you never know when you test the arm out there. And Stevens, we saw last night, has a pretty decent arm. And especially when you're up by this many, there's no reason to really push things and push the envelope. One of those unwritten rules of baseball of when you get up by a lead this much, especially this early on in a ball game, you just don't do things like that. It's part of those very, the unwritten rules, but the, what should you say, the rules of the duel, I guess.
There you go.
Would be a way to say it.
As Palace watches one inside, pushes him off the play, he'll bring the count to 1-0, and that will even it up there. Very similar spot, just a little more inside, even the count, that's all it took. Difference between a ball and strike, just a few inches there. Runners on first and second, Bragg and Zanheiser.
1-1 count here. Palos on the night has walked and grounded out back towards the pitcher at the time, Jack Downing. As this one misses low, Del Real keeps it in front of him yet again. But 2-1 count here. And again, just lack of the K, the punch-outs, and making these Colt 45s, they have hit really well so far, something we saw a lot with the Zephyrs last night out of Concord. They have just C-ball, hit-ball so far tonight, and it's indicative on the scoreboard.
Yeah, and sometimes it is, in fact, that simple.
As this one will get chopped down third baseline, even if the count 2-2. We've seen a handful of 2-2 or full counts here. All have been won by the Colt 45s. They have two walks that came around to score here and a hit that came around, or a hit just now by Tyson Bragg on these more extended at-bats. So an opportunity here for Dalton Reck to do something and right this ship here before it is fully sailed. Here's the 2-2, swung on. It's going to be straight up into the air. It's going to carry him foul. It will stay in the ballpark for first baseman. He will be able to make the grab. It's a good grab by Lister, and that will retire the side in a rather anticlimactic way. Palos will fly out on a foul ball. The Colt 45s bring three across, but strand two on a pair of hits, and they are heading to the top of the fourth inning with an 11-0 lead.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Due up for the Concord Zephyrs here in the top of the fourth. Brendan Lister followed by Jason Stevens and Evan Karuba-Rice through the heart of this lineup. And it is much needed and mandatory, as this one's fouled off for strike one by Lister, that the Concord Zephyrs get something going here as this game has gotten out of hand quickly. Three innings in, 11-0, the Colt 45's lead.
Yeah, this is, in fact, the inning you need to score runs right now if you're the Zephyrs. You have about a couple of innings or so to work with, but against a fairly strong 45's ball club, this one, Sky Torch foul territory, giving chase is the shortstop, Carroll, and
making the grab.
Third baseman, actually. Preston Conklin ranging over into left field, essentially, in foul territory. Got to it, made a basket catch over his shoulder, and we were completely blinded by it as well.
Yeah, and Mark Anthony Carroll delivering his baseball cap back to him as he lost it on the pursuit to that ball, which is the bare minimum you could do for making a play like that. And again, we were shielded. Our apologies. Couldn't quite see what's going on from that dugout from the Colt 45s as the action was happening behind it. This one misses low for ball one to Jason Stevens.
One day when we make it to the show, we'll be up in the...
We'll be able to see everything.
Up in the second or third story of the ballpark, up above the seats with a panoramic view. You can see everything.
As this one swung on hard down the second base, right back up towards Chase Phillips, down that third base side, and it's going to be a strong-looking single there from Stevens. And that's some of the power we saw that back in the second inning last night, where he took one out over the left field netting, which is about as high as you can get in this ballpark, and it got out in a hurry.
I mean, goodness gracious, that was a ground out. It was a hard, or a ground ball, and it was a hard knock.
Yes.
Just got through quick.
Right.
I was, again, you can barrel the baseball and it not be in the air.
as Evan Kruber-Rice will watch this one unfazed. Didn't even step into it. Didn't just stare right back at Chase Phillips there. Didn't even look like he wanted to swing in the slightest. And it will work in his favor. Ball one.
Yeah, window shopping all the way.
Right. Just wanted to see what he liked to designate a hitter tonight. As he will watch one miss low and inside again. Bring the count to 2-0. Runner on first, one out away, an 11-0 ball game. Mason Rennell, the only player back in the second at-bat of the night, the only player to reach second base and get in scoring position for his efforts tonight, as this one's going to be called strike. Another watch from Kruber-Rice, but hitting the zone is Phillips. Bring the count to 2-1.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing if you're a pitcher, too. Throw strikes. When you throw strikes, you force the batter to swing.
And this one misses just high. It'll bring the count to 3-1. A close one there.
Yeah, on cue, kind of
right.
Showing me up right there. But you throw strikes, you force the batter to have to swing away at stuff. And you obviously want them to chase, but you're tunneling pitches left and right, just trying to do what you can.
Here's the 3-1 from Phillips. Fouled back, and it'll fill up the count. And we got the payoff pitch here, just the second of the night for the Colt 45s and Chase Phillips. And the last one was one, and it retired the side on Mason Rennell, and that's how the third inning ended. There we go.
Say that 10 times fast.
And swing and a miss and a big punchy there from Chase Phillips. Sends Kruber-Rice back, head shaken, two outs away. And now due up is Caleb Emmons, the left-handed batter, or right-handed batter, rather, in his second at-bat for tonight. He also struck out swinging due to the power of Chase Phillips.
Chugo catching the lingo, calling it a punchy. You'll love to hear it.
As this one will miss just off the bag for ball one. One oh count, two outs away, runner on first. In Stevens being held on as this one's going to get popped up to right field, and making the grab is Brayden Chiarito, his first beat of action out there in right tonight. And that will be four batters face, one hit, and three of them sat down. These efforts threaten again, but do not score. We head to the bottom of the fourth, 11-0, the Colt 45's lead.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-purpose car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
As we enter the bottom of the fourth inning, the top of the lineup is due up for the Colt 45s in Timmy Ayers, Mark Anthony Carroll, and Preston Conklin. Brayden Chiarito, the round off hitter, should the inning continue, batting cleanup there, who we just saw make a play out in right field, which leads us here, 11-0, Colt 45's lead, and an opportunity for the lefty Timmy Ayers, who has singled and tripled and also flew out to left. As he's first pitch swinging again, it'll find grass in right field, and it is a good-looking single there by Ayers. And he has seen the ball really well tonight. And again, just a great start to the inning, and that is how it has begun for the Colt 45s. It's been a great start to the game that we are making our way through now. And their first batter is reached in every single inning so far.
And now due up is Mark Anthony Carroll, who has come around to score twice, once on a single, once hit by a pitch, and he reached last inning on an error before being thrown out at third from center field. So an incredible throw, as this first one's going to miss low for ball one. 1-0 count here as the wind continues to whip around here at Tiger Field. And called strike in the zone. Mark Anthony Carroll was looking for something different there, even up the count 1-1. Carroll, not too much action for him at short so far tonight. He's made a couple good plays, which we always see. As this one's going to hit right up to Timmy Ayers at first, but able to make it by the ball. Almost took out his own teammate there on first base, but they will both advance 90 feet, reaching on the single into right field as Mark Anthony Carroll and Timmy Ayers holds at second. And again, indicative of why the score is the way it is, 11-0, the Colt 45's lead here in just the bottom of the fourth inning. They have hit contact every single night, and they have, or every single at bat, and they have found the gaps in this Zephyrs defense. And they have also worked the walk quite well tonight as well. 8 walks on the night, if I'm not mistaken, for the Colt 45s, or 7 rather. 0 outs away, runners on first and second, due up. At the plate now, Preston Conklin, who has come around to score all 3 times. Here's the pitch from Dalton Recht. Misses just high. It'll bring the count to 1-0. Conklin on the night has walked, come around to score, reached via the fielder's choice and come around to score, and singled and has come around to score just most recently in this last inning. Here's the 1-0. Swung on hard into left field. Giving chase to it and making the play is Jason Stevens for out number one, and runners will hold on first and second. And that is out number one here at the bottom of the fourth, as due up is Braden Chiarito, who has walked twice and singled and has also come around to score all 3 times here tonight. So looking for more of that. Chiarito, the left-handed batter, digs in for his 4th at-bat on the night. So far, Colt 45 is batting through the order in every single inning, just about. We'll see if the 4th inning continues. Dancing on 2nd base is Timmy Ayers, as this one misses for ball 1, just a little bit inside at the elbows. 1-0 count, runners on 1st and 2nd, 1 out away. Zephyrs infield at double play depth. Looking off Ayers is Dalton Recht. This one's going to get fired in there for a called strike 1. Even up the count 1-1. A good spot there coming from Chiarito. As the sun is completely set, the moon has begun to rise up into the sky to the right of Tiger Field here, as this one misses off the bag for ball 2. And the wind still blowing every which way right now from left to right, which is the most common we see, pushing in towards right field from out on the road. And this one misses high to bring the count to 3-1, an opportunity for Chiarito to reach via the walk for the 3rd time here as the count is 3-1. And load the bases for D'Amico Parker. Dalton Recht peers in to Del Real. Kicks and deals. Big swing and a miss there from Chiarito. He'll even up the count, or he'll bring it to a full count, 3-2 rather. And still looking for their first strikeout of the night is Jackson Dalton Recht. Opportunity to do it here. Just 1 strikeout on the game for the Zephyrs entirely, coming in the first inning on Tyler Jones, who has since singled and been hit by a pitch. It's an opportunity to see him up here this inning as well. Here's the payoff. Swung foul. Straight up towards, just out. Looked like for a second it was coming right towards me and Jacob Green out here, up here in the booth. And you can see the excitement and a little bit of anxiety coming here up in the booth. But
I was all ready for it. There you go. It does
sit just outside the fence. It looked like the wind was going to push it right to us. But unfortunately, it's foul ball.
It was drifting back, not quite enough spin on it to get all the way back here, but
It was up, and I thought it was going to carry toward me for a second. I was, yeah.
And that there's my
arms out, head to God, hoping for it.
And that there is my reminder to take off my glasses at the end of this inning, because I lost that ball, and I was hoping Jacob was keeping me safe.
Don't worry, I had you. Yeah. I was the third baseman in me was ready to drift which way or whatever, and he was everything.
Mark Anthony Carroll looked like he might have been calling for a balk there. Full count, and it's going to miss low, and that will be ball four. And a little bit of frustration for Chiarito. He has walked three times now on the night, but he has come around to score all three times. And base is loaded, one out away. And an opportunity for D'Amico Parker to bring some runners around, something you see so often.
Yeah, it's up to DJ here to just, I mean, put the nails in the coffin at this point if you're the 45.
Right.
Then give the rookies some burn and kind of walk away with it.
Yeah. 11-0 ball game here. D'Amico Parker watches one, miss the zone just slightly, 1-0 count. Bases loaded, one out away. An 11-0 ball game just in the bottom of the fourth inning here. Here's the 1-0, swung on hard by Parker, back up, and a chance for a double play from 4 to 6 and 6 to 3, but he will be late on the 6-3. No, they will say he got him. How about that? A double play.
What a pick at the other end.
6-3 double play, an incredible pick there by first baseman Lister, and that is how the inning ends, and the side is retired. No runs come across there. All three stranded on a few hits from the Colt 45s.
Well, it's 11-0 after four complete here from Tagger Field. Quick and Clean Car Wash there at the corner. Market and Eureka Way. They're sponsoring tonight's game. And if you need a car wash, stop on by. That's Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck with our all-cloth car wash. Stop by today at the corner of Market and Eureka Way.
Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Aaron, no balls and one strike as the lights have taken full effect here at Tagger Field. Jacob Green and Spencer Schlinge here with you. The 0-1 delivery is chopped foul down the third base side for strike two here in this 11-0 top of the fifth. Now stepping back in is Aaron Del Real, catcher who grounded out to the pitcher's last time up, chops this one over Phillips' head. The pitcher, gloved by Carroll, back to second base. Strong throw to first in time for the 6-3. Carroll ranges over back behind the second base bag, gobbles it up, and makes a strong throw to first in time to nab Del Real. And that will bring up Raul Ramos, the second baseman, who flew out to center his first time up.
I think you need a third hand.
Now, here's a first pitch to the right hand hitting Raul Ramos. Reaches for this one, grounded up the middle and through for a base hit. A clean knock there from the second baseman. And starting off this inning with a bang, and then a quick answer back there by Ramos. We'll bring up Keith Mathieu, the shortstop who K'd back in the third.
Here's the first pitch to him. Misses off the plate outside for ball one. Thought it was going to catch the edge, but just not quite. Now the 0-1 delivery. Right there on the outside corner at the knees. Same pitch, but maybe just a bit closer to the edge. Here's a 1-1 delivery from Phillips. Breaking ball. Moving out of the way was Mattie. Some chin music coming in toward his left ear. Turning away from it, happy it was a breaking ball rather than a fastball or an off-speed, for
right.
Sure.
Definitely.
Now the 2-1. It's a ground ball toward the first baseman, Bowen Jr. Handles it, gives it to Carroll at second, back to first with Phillips covering, and 3-4, 3-6-1, they turn it rather, and the side is retired just the way you draw it up. Bowen Jr. flipped to second with Carroll on the bag. Phillips got to first in time, played a little first base, and he splashed the leather tonight as well, has been efficient throughout. 4.5, we're halfway through our ball game tonight, after 4.5. It is 11-0, the Colt 45s lead.
Tonight's Colt 45's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
And welcome back. It will be Carson Downing on in relief to face off against 6, 7, and 8 of these Colt 45s. Bowen Jr., Tyler Jones, and then Tyson Bragg, first base catcher and DH for your 45s. Out of Pleasant Hill, California, and Monterey Bay College, right-hand reliever, a Pleasant Hill native right there next to Concord, and if you've ever been to Krispy Kreme down in the East Bay, you were in Concord. If you drove by DVC in the East Bay, you were in Pleasant Hill. That's the easiest way to remember that.
I'll write it down.
For all you Highway 80 travelers.
In my own notebook.
That's, what, 780, 680? That's 680.
Yeah,
I got to think about this back home. When you're a local, it's just referred to as 80 throughout, but in that sense, I think it's technically 680. Which is, fun fact, the freeway that you take. Well, actually, no. You cross over. Here's a little, and you can tell we're dwindling into the middle.
Little geography
here.
Lesson.
Little geography lesson.
For California residents.
680. You take Highway 24 over, go in the backside of Oakland, take that onto 780, and then that's what you take to go by the Oakland Coliseum, a now empty concrete cathedral.
Oh, way to break my heart on a random Saturday evening. I'm not even an A's fan, or even the biggest of baseball fans, but that was sad.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's some heartbreak in those words.
Yeah. Empty Coliseum.
The Oakland Roots actually play there. The Oakland Roots.
There you go.
Playing in the USL as this one's taken to the bottom of the zone to even the count up at one ball and one strike. The Oakland Roots playing there. They actually play the Sac Republic, which, again, USL. Sacramento, who just announced the stadium at the Rail Yards in Northwest Sacramento, I want to say. So 1-1 is fouled back to the screen. And we'll do it again under beautiful cloud cover. Dark, dark shadows beyond right center field and out toward left all around in a panoramic view of the ballpark. But clear skies overhead for the most part. Those are gray clouds all around, though, with some purple hue around as the sun has set. Here's the 1-2 delivery with nobody out and nobody on from Carson Downing. His foul tip, staying alive like the Bee Gees, as Patrick Bowen Jr. got tested with that heater in and just got a piece of it.
Yeah, good job there making contact. Obviously now you like to see something's going to be switched up here from Dalton Recht. And well, it looks like we do have a new pitcher in for the Zephyrs.
Yeah, Carson.
I missed that one.
Carson Downing.
Thank you.
The southpaw, which
we saw last night, actually, just for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
Check swing on this breaking ball. Appeal to third. The answer is no. Did not quite go around. Yeah, we did see Carson Downing for a brief stint. I believe he pitched the final three and the third. Yes, final three and the third, if my math is all correct and in order, which, me being a comm major, hopefully it is. As this one misses, and the count moves to three balls and two strikes.
Downing with just a shake of the head there as well, just a little bit of frustration. The amount of walks you've seen here this weekend coming from the defense and the pitching of this Concord Zephyr side. Obviously, they're very frustrated with it, and they just can't seem to get those punch-outs either.
Now the 3-2 as the lefty Downing kicks and deals, misses way inside, and taking first base with a leadoff walk. That is the ninth walk of the night. And a pinch runner out there. Take that back. I was thinking pinch runner for Tyler Jones. And I realized Tyler Jones is stepping up to the plate, who has Cade singled and been hit by a pitch tonight.
Yeah, and yet to come around and score is Tyler Jones, just one of the two Colt 45s yet to score. However, he's brought a couple across himself, so as he'll just miss this one for strike one.
And for Downing last night, 3 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, 1 earned, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. That was in 3 2/3 innings of work. Here's the 0-1 from the southpaw. This is wide, up and away. Already the third pitcher of the evening. Now Jones steps back in, working a 1-1 count. Here's a 1-1 delivery, hit in the air toward left field. Playable for Stevens. He'll now come in a little bit and squeeze it for out number one. Initially, off the crack of the bat, thought it might have a chance to get out, but just kind of died with the wind being fairly non-existent now, just kind of making that flag out in center field swirl just a little bit, but not blowing particularly hard in any regard.
Yeah, really solid-looking swing there from Jones, as you mentioned. I thought I had a chance, too, off the bat. It had high octane and velocity, but just a little bit too under it, and then again, the wind not playing any nice games there with Jones. Played factor and kept that thing just probably still 100 feet or so short of the getting out. So,
yeah, at least as this one swung on and missed by Bragg, tied him up inside. For strike one. With the run on first, searching for a double play here are the Zephyrs. And I take that back because this one's fouled off. It is not actually Carson Downing. It's Nicola, because they have two number 10s on their roster, which
that's
I remembered.
Right. That's right.
Chad Johnson told us before the game. Or at least told me. I think you might have been doing a sound check or
something. I heard.
So, well, our apologies.
Sure. Nicola, that is correct. And I do feel like I do remember Downing was a right-handed pitcher as well.
I was looking at the roster and it says right-handed pitcher, and I was thinking, there's no way they got that wrong. Like, it's happened before with other teams who have even less paperwork, so you just never know. Now, as this one's outside, so 1 ball and 2 strikes now, after we have now gotten everything in order. Here's the 1-2 delivery from Nicola with the runner on first being held on by Lister. Kicks, deals, swing, and a miss. And the first strikeout comes all the way here in this bottom of the fifth inning.
Yeah, just the second strikeout of the night entirely there. First one for Nicola for this Zephyrs pitching squad. And just looking to get the job done if they can get a few more of those. But obviously, defense is not going to save them now, not even close. They're going to need a ton of offense and to keep that defensive work up.
Yeah, it's a great check right there on second thought. I forgot Tyler Jones struck out in the first inning. So two
yeah,
of them strike
all the way back there in the first inning, you know.
Yeah, that scorecard's a little bit
Jones
muddy.
Has been solid, yeah. So
yeah, Jones getting the board a couple of times since. Now Paulos working a 1-0 count. Here's a 1-0 from the southpaw, Nicola. Here with two gone and the runner on first, courtesy of the walk. That's Patrick Bowen Jr. Two balls and no strikes as the lefty Nicola from the third base side of the rubber out of the stretch.
Casey, Shasta Redding.
Glance and deals on the outside corner. Two balls and one strike, two out, bottom of the fifth here in 11-0 ball game. On KCNR, Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNRradio.com. Jacob Green and Spencer Schlinge here with you in the home half of the fifth. Dark skies overhead. The 2-1 swing and a foul tip for strike two. So two balls and two strikes. Runner on first. That's Patrick Bowen Jr. The wind completely dying down. The lights have taken full effect. And just a little bit of wind out there swirling in center field. Center fielder Yost playing straight up.
Yeah, this whole Zephyrs defense playing pretty much straight up on Paulos here.
Now the 2-2 on the inside corner right at the knee. Strike three called. Gone. A-looking. Two Ks in the inning. They come back-to-back as the side is retired. At the end of five complete, it's 11-0. The Colt 45s lead.
Tonight's Reading Colt 45's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Sixth inning here on KC, Jacob Green and Spencer Schlinge with you. And without further ado, here's Spencer for the sixth inning.
Thank you, Jacob. And up top of the Zephyrs, we got Yost followed by Renau and Lister. And still looking to get their first runs across the Concord Zephyrs.
Yeah, top of the order here in Gabe Yost, who's popped out in single tonight, and then Mason Renau, who's singled and grounded out, and then Lister, who reached on that E5 and popped out. So three guys who have hit the ball hard, and down by 11. Here's your opportunity. Your opportunity to just get some hits, try and get something going, because now all of a sudden on the back half of this ballgame, you have four innings to work with, which is 12 outs to work with for all you quick math majors out there.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, again, we were an hour into the game just through two innings. This one's called strike and leaving up the count 1-1 on Yost, who has flown out and singled. And Chase Phillips in his sixth full inning of work. You'd love to see him keep it going. He's pitched really well here tonight. He's got a few Ks and just pitching to contact more than anything so far tonight. Not as much power as we typically see, but it's worked perfectly.
This one's fouled back to the screen. And again, hard hit, just not on the field. But there is solid contact being made, and it could just be a matter of time before something happens for these Zephyrs, but in this case, they just haven't been able to scratch one across yet. This one's fouled back again for strike two. So 2-2 now to the leadoff man, Yost, here in this sixth inning. And Phillips
again, rather efficient tonight for these 45s. Just cruising.
Yeah, absolutely. I really hope he just continues to pitch. That's just an incredible play there by Preston Conklin at third. It's going to beat the runner at first. A 5-3 put out, getting dirty, making the throw all the way across. Incredible stuff by Preston Conklin, and that is stuff we see from this Colt 45's infield, especially that left side. That Conklin-Terrell duo, that 1-2 punch right there,
yeah,
is incredible.
Terrell, Conklin, and Caballero,
yes,
are your big three over there. The three big C's over there, and they hold it down. Just, I mean, gobbling up everything. And, yeah, it was a great job by the third baseman, Conklin, moving to his left, ranging toward the 5-6 hole, full extension, and kept that baseball from getting through as this one catches the outside edge to Mason Renau. Left-hand batter, deep in the box with the open stance. As the wind, that cross breeze picking up just a little bit.
As this one misses and evens up to count 1-1. No runners on, one out away, an 11-0 ball game that the Colt 45s lead and have led the entire way, as this one's going to get fouled up over the Colt 45s dugout and towards the bullpen and third base club right behind there for strike two. 1-2 count now. And four runs in the first, four in the second, and three in the third for the Reading Colt 45s. Quick math there, 4-4-3 for all of you soccer lovers out there. It's 11 right there. Or 4-3-3 typically would be the formation of a soccer lineup. But you got to add the keeper as well. So a 1-4-3-3.
I'm glad I knew what you were talking about.
Good.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
Honestly, before last season calling soccer, I would not have gotten that even close. I know like the boxing one for basketball, the 2-1-2,
there you go.
The 3-2. But yeah, a 4-4-3, a 3-4-3, a 1-3-4-8-6-7-5-3-0-9.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As this one's going to miss and even up the count 2-2.
There's a little 80s reference in there.
There you go. And Renau on the night has singled and grounded out, but he was stranded there. As this one's going to get hit right up towards Phillips. An incredible play by Deegan Paulos. Can he make the play? Got him. Incredible
for
Deegan Paulos. And this Colt 45's infield has been unstoppable. Lights out tonight. And a tip of the cap from Chase Phillips to Deegan Paulos, reaching all the way across his body the other direction towards second base. It hit the glove of Chase Phillips, and Paulos extends to his right, is able to make the grab, pick himself up off the ground, and throw a straight missile to Patrick Bowen.
And Patrick Bowen Jr. on the other end, full extension toward the right field side, as Jason Stevens trying to make it a tie ball game with that swing. Oh my goodness, huge cut there. And a little laugh as he goes for a saunter.
Cut the lead to 10, actually.
Fire.
Not tie the ball game up. Cut the lead to 10, but yeah, he swung out of his socks there. Oh, my goodness.
Swung out of, like,
and he was cracking up there, too.
Today's socks and yesterday's socks.
He knew what he did there. That was a swing and a half.
And the best part about that is the count's actually 0-0. The first base umpire was chatting it up with the dugout over there on that first base side. And for that play by Paulos back behind second base,
oh my goodness.
I mean, as a second baseman, that's probably one of the hardest plays to make and you will ever make. Went off the glove of Phillips, so all of a sudden your whole timing's off to get to that baseball. Here's a lace ball into right for a base hit. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Stevens rounding first. He's headed for two. Chirito up with the ball. Strong throw in, but it's going to be offline on a couple of hops towards second. Not on time. And Brendan Lister with the double toward right will bring up Jason Stevens. And for Paulos, again, full extension, your timing's off after it goes off the glove of Phillips. Handles it on the full extension, handles that baseball, gets up, which is, again, even harder to do. I don't know anybody who's done a push-up. Imagine doing a push-up really, really fast than having to throw a baseball. So use your imagination there. And about a 90-foot throw to Bowen at first with the full extension, corralled it, and it was in time as the Zephyrs actually have some players running first and third base right now as coaches, which is an interesting sight, to say the least.
And again, it's 11-0 ball game. It's a summer ball league. It's never too early to start thinking about, you know, what you're going to do when you're done playing, you know? And I always think about that, too, like just getting involved coaching and stuff like that, helping with camps, anything like that. Just continuing to evolve in the game from either way possible.
Well, and especially at this level where
right.
You know, you pick up some stuff on base running. He says, chopper toward the third baseman. Conklin is just going to tag the runner out. And that's one way to get out of the jam. So, technically, a fielder's choice in your scorebooks, but erased on that play was Lister on the 5 unassisted, as a side, is retired.
And tonight's Colt 45's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. We are now in the bottom of the sixth inning, where your Redding Colt 45s lead the Concord Zephyrs with a score of 11-0. And due up is the top of the lineup yet again, much like the fourth inning, rather. Timmy Ayers, followed by Mark Anthony Carroll and Preston Conklin, who have all had their way here tonight and looking to continue that. And unfortunately, who hasn't for this Colt 45s team so far? They have looked really good against this Concord Zephyrs side tonight. And an opportunity to sweep, to pull off the sweep if they can finish it off here and get the job done tomorrow night here at Tiger Field, 7:15 p.m., first pitch, per usual.
Although we won't be on the air, unfortunately. Right.
But that is a good reminder. Earlier first pitch time, next Saturday for the 4th of July ball game, where this place will be sold out and packed. Usual.
Get here early if you can, especially to nab your seats, as Adrian Lopez will grab some pine to pinch it for Ayers.
And pinch hitting coming in the sixth inning is earlier than ever, but indicative of the score and the type of game we've had so far tonight. And you're curious if that was the last we will see of Chase Phillips going through six innings, or if they will keep him going here tonight in the seventh. As a big swing and a miss there. Hard cut there from Lopez, but not going to come up with anything. He'll even the count 1-1.
Yeah, some activity out of the bullpen. I mean, I have to assume you just let Chase Phillips keep cruising. But although he's probably on a pitch count,
I suppose. I would love to see him keep pitching as well. That would be awesome. It's not to jinx anything. There's one specific stat. He is flawless in.
I mean, he is at 71 pitches.
Yeah.
According to the live stats.
2-1 count here to Lopez, as this one's going to get chopped foul right out towards the Zephyrs bullpen, which is empty currently, as I'm sure they kind of think what we're thinking right now, and this game has been decided roughly since the third inning. You don't want to say that, barring any miracles happening, but, you know, crazier things have happened on a baseball diamond, that's for sure.
Crazier things have happened, and a lot would have to happen.
Right.
However, it's, again, not out of the ordinary, as you're saying.
As this one's going to miss entirely. Nicola's going to miss Del Real there. No one on, though. No fret. It will fill the count 3-2 here. And an opportunity for Adrian Lopez to either work the walk or for Nicola to get his second strikeout of the night, or third, rather, third in a row, if he can get the job done here. Here's a 3-2 from the lefty. Swung on hard. It's going to go foul. Back into the parking lot. Not by where we parked this time.
Yeah, not this time.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Not so many foul balls in the lawn. Knock on wood here for the fans and
ourselves as well. You never know.
Yeah, and I think with the lack of right-handed bats as well,
right,
just far less batters are going to be late on it and poke it out over the first base side tonight.
Another full count here. Payoff pitch incoming from Nicola. Swing and a miss, and then it's going to be three strikeouts in a row for Nicola. And the small glimpse of hope is being held by the glove of Nicola on the mound. Three strikeouts in a row, and the best defense we've seen so far from the Zephyrs here tonight.
Yeah, if the Colt 45s have a defensive breakdown in the midst of all this, which I don't foresee happening at all based on the showing we've seen tonight and also this season, but again, they're not out of it yet, the Zephyrs, that is. Not out of it yet, but when you're down 11 to nothing here over halfway through a ball game, it's, you're going to have to get the bats going really quick. As this one misses wide to Mark Anthony Carroll for ball one. And it's been nothing but goose eggs out there on that scoreboard for the Zephyrs. They haven't even scratched one across, but they're still holding out hope in that dugout.
As this one misses high, I'll bring the count to 2-0. And again, Mark Anthony Carroll on the night has singled, been hit by a pitch, or singled twice and been hit by a pitch, and reached by the via the air. And he's come around to score twice, once in the first, once in the second. Looking to keep that trend of getting on base, as he is more or less 4-for-4 on the night, 3-for-3 with a fielder's choice. And a big swing and a miss there. We'll bring the count to 2-1. One out away here, an 11-0 ball game, and it's been 11-0 since the third inning. So this is possibly, quick math, 24 straight outs, currently at 22, but possibly 24 straight outs of zero-run baseball, as this one's going to get fouled back towards the lot. This one is going towards where we parked, but it will land short. You'd like to hope. I really do hope so. Even up to count 2-2.
I'll give you that much information. I really hope so.
Yeah.
As Lacey, the back girl, 12 years old, just found out she made All-Stars. Get some applause again from the crowd due to the prompting of Chad Johnson dropping a little info. 2-2 to Carroll.
Here's a pitch swung on hard by Carroll, and it's going to go foul towards the lot again. And I fear I jinxed us. This one over the dugout, not towards too many cars. Looks like a grown man out there giving chase to it. But I'm no one to judge, because me and Jacob would probably be doing the same thing if we were out here.
I was going to say, if I was out in that parking lot, I'd be turning and burning, chasing that baseball down, too. I've been known to
crazy
do it.
40-yard dash, though, I will say, for that man out there. I hope he comes back with the ball. Swung on hard by Marcus Carroll over the head of the second baseman, and that is going to find a patch of grass. A stand-up single is third of the night. Mark Anthony Carroll, how about that?
Yeah, reaching base all five times in a plethora of ways, three of those being a single. And just laced it beyond the extension of Ramos, the second baseman, who's got some pretty good range over there at second base. And now to the plate is Preston Conklin, who's reached base three of four times tonight.
Yeah, and Conklin also coming around to score three of four times, as well as Chiarito, who is on deck. Big opportunity here. It looks like it will be Tyler Sanheiser, who we assumed would get an opportunity to swing the bat tonight with the game going the way it is, although it is his off night, but someone who could really hit the ball hard and put it in play, taking off that spot for Chiarito, either pinch hitting or a substitute. I'm assuming just pinch hitting. But Preston Conklin here watches one inside for a called ball. 1-0 is the count here. Runner on first, one out away, an 11-0 ball game. Nicola finds the corner of the zone. He'll even up the count 1-1. As Conklin was watching. Nicola, the southpaw, kicks and deals a 1-1. Swung on, goes foul. Takes a little deflection off the catcher, Del Real, as well. Yeah, Sanheiser will be the ball boy here for this play and deliver the ball back. Count is now 1-2, one out away. Opportunity for the fourth strikeout here coming from Nicola. He's only been four all night, and he has had three of them here in just his first full inning of pitching, as this one's going to miss just high and wide, even if the count 2-2. So a lot of full counts here, or long, multiple pitch at-bats coming in this sixth inning. Two balls, two strikes. Opportunity for Nicola here. Runner on first, one out away. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss and another strikeout. That's three swinging, one looking. And Conklin will take the walk back as he will start off 3-for-3 on the night and 0-for-2 since. And now it will be Tyler Zanheiser, the 27 for the Colt 45s. Typically manning left field, we saw him out in center last night. Will be up here pinch hitting for Braden Chiarito. Unless there's a small chance Chiarito's dealing with something and popping into right with Zanheiser for the rest of the night. But I'm assuming just a pinch hitter, as this one's going to miss off the zone. 1-0 count. Runner on first, two outs away. Carroll just being held on by Lister currently. As this one going to be called strike in the zone, even if they have 1-1. And it does look like, actually, just based off the physical stature, we do have a new first baseman in for the Concord Zephyrs as well, which we will get to you as soon as possible. 1-1 count, two outs away, runner on first, 11-0. Here's Zanheiser. Called strike, and a surprising one there. Thought that one was low and inside, but the umpire in blue liked it and calls it strike. It's a 1-2 count now. Zanheiser going to have to be patient here now. Let's get anything close. Nicola now looking to strike out the side, and it will miss just high, even if the count 2-2. And again, so far in this bottom of the sixth inning, the counts have looked as 3-2, a full count, 2-2, 2-2, and now 2-2 again. So long at-bats here, but favored by Nicola in this Zephyrs defense for pretty much the first full inning tonight. As this one misses just outside, it will fill up the count. So two full counts and two counts. 2-2-2-2-2-2-2.
That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. My goodness.
Yeah, Nicola hitting his pitch count real quick, catching up to Chase Phillips already, it feels.
But yeah, and he's been the most dominant Zephyr out there so far that we've seen this weekend.
Here's the 2-2, swung on by Zanheiser. It is going to go foul. It might be able to stay in play for the right fielder, making the play and not able to make the grab. And Mark Anthony Carroll was rounding second, two-thirds of the way, the third, just a few feet away, and he's going to have to make that long jog back to first. And Zanheiser will trot back in and dig back into the plate, into the box, rather. Did you mistake that for lightning just now?
Oh, no, it was close.
Okay, I thought you were looking up at the sky and you mistake the...
I did think
the rolling cart down by the bleachers.
I thought I heard a helicopter coming in far away. I thought I was crazy for a second.
As Zanheiser will belt this one into deep center field, giving chase and making the grab is Yost. An incredible contact there by Zanheiser, but Yost able to make the catch over the shoulder, looking like a wide receiver out there on a go route.
I mean, on the screws, yeah, just running that go route, reaching up above the shoulder, chased it down, and what a catch by Yost, what a hit by Zanheiser. Unfortunately, did not lead to anything. Tonight's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Summer travel is tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or pollen, sap and baked in grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Welcome back to Tiger Field here in the seventh inning. Complete is Braxton Sweatland falling in Chase Phillips. Braxton Sweatland out of Cottonwood, California, playing at Shasta College, 6'6", 250. Similar frame to Chase Phillips. A lefty with the black socks up high for these 45s, concluding his warm-up tosses here against the Concord Zephyrs. It will be Caruta, Rice, Emmons, and Del Real up to the plate for the Zephyrs. The 45s finish up their infield and outfield. Just getting loose. Sweatland having a few solid outings this year. He now comes into this game after Phillips goes 6 innings of 5-hit, no-run baseball. He walked none and struck out 4 on 71 pitches for the 45s. And after taking his time to take his warm-up tosses, we'll now get back underway here in the top of the 7th inning. Here on KCNR, Jacob Green and Spencer Schlinge here with you. It's great to have you with us for this Saturday evening edition, with the Colt 45s coming in with a record of 15-3, coming off the 16-6 victory last night. And some activity out in the Zephyr bullpen as well. And for Caruda Rice, he's Cade looking and swinging tonight. Emmons has Cade looking and flown out to right. And then Del Real has grounded out twice, once to the pitcher, once to short. So it should be an interesting inning here, as these Zephyrs are just going to try and get anything going they can. Now more for pride than anything, as they look to put some runs on the scoreboard. It's nothing but goose eggs up there after Chase Phillips went the first 6 innings and was absolutely stellar against this very talented Zephyr ball club that had a good go of things last night. Is the first pitch on the outside corner at the knee to the right end hitting Caruda Rice. Here in the top of the 7th. Now the 0-1 delivery. This is way inside, high and tight, to even the count up at 1-1. With nobody out, nobody on the infield playing at regular depth. Center fielder Parker shaded a couple of steps toward left. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Drops in there, way low and in. And it did go off the foot of Caruda Rice, and he will be granted first base. So Hit Bassman will lead things off here in the 7th.
And unfortunately, coming just in the nick of time there, the first 390 feet of the night for the Colt 45s, and unfortunately is just after Chase Phillips called himself a night after 6 innings.
Yeah, unless you count that error back in the first, which
right,
I wouldn't necessarily count because it was still bat to ball.
Right, that's what I was more or less saying.
But yeah, the first quite literal free pass issued by Colt 45 pitching, and it was just barely.
Yeah, no walks on the night still for this Colt 45's pitching staff.
The pitch from Sweatland misses wide off the glove of Jones. Thought about it from first was Rice and decided to hold it first, where he's being held on by Patrick Bowen Jr. Now gets a pinch runner out there. And it is the 15 of Connor Brashard, who started last night's ballgame. So some double switches going on as we have a pinch runner over there. Now the 1-0. Bounced in there, smothered by Jones. Box, I can't find it. It carried all the way to his left, and he'll look everybody back, which is really just a runner on first. In Brashard looks him back at first, and Jones almost had to make a snap throw. He wasn't sure where, but make one somewhere.
Yeah.
He was ready. He just couldn't find the baseball, and you could tell some visible frustration after, with the hockey goalie-style mask as well, a little bit more limited vision, and lost the baseball off to his left, couldn't locate it. Now a 2-0 count after a handful of wild pitches from Sweatland. This one misses wide. Pops in and out of the glove of Jones. Catches it with his bare hand off the glove.
And yeah, Sweatland's still just trying to find his feet here, obviously. He's got three innings to basically do exactly what Chase Phillips did. He's got the opportunity to here, but 3-0 count. We haven't seen that yet tonight for the Colt 45s.
Also, Drew Bumgartner is the coach tonight in Bob Anderson's absence. This one, bottom of the zone, in there for a called strike one. So 3-1 now. Here's the 3-1 delivery with nobody out. Swing and a miss. Got him to chase the fastball in.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's why they brought Sweatland in more than anything. I don't think they're ready to take Chase Phillips out with how he's been playing. But as you mentioned, summer wooden bat league. These guys are trying to stay fresh on a pitch count, stay healthy, and Sweatland can throw some incredible power too with the frame and the size of them.
looking for that knockout punch here.
Now the payoff is a ground ball toward the second baseman, Paulos. On the backhand, flip to Carroll at second in time. Jump throw to first. 4-6-3, Taylor made. And that is quickly two gone. What a sequence there. Nice little flip to Carroll on the bag. Kick the second base bag and some theatrics as he made the strong throw off balance toward first in time to get the twin killing.
Yeah, just absolutely beautiful there from both Paulos and Carroll. This infield of the Colt 45s, and obviously tip of the cap to Patrick Bowen Jr. as well, but not too much need to be had there. Just stick his glove up and find it.
Smoother than Skippy.
Really?
That's what that was.
Incredibly smooth. They make it's so elegant out there. Especially tonight, I feel like. Especially tonight. It's been extremely elegant, and just they've made it look so effortless tonight, especially on that infield.
And that's, again, the basis of defense. Soft hands, smooth, and that's been the story of tonight. That's kind of funny, too, because
you mentioned 11-0.
Yeah, this is a 1-0, misses low and in for ball two. I was playing slow pitch this last Tuesday, and you mix in outfield and infield. It's kind of hard to go from between the two or whatever. But then we were messing around after the game, and I was at shortstop just like, you know, taking ground balls, doing all this, doing all that. You're doing the funny stuff, the fun stuff, off-balance throws, just crazy because you don't have to rush. You're playing nice and chill. You're all relaxed. You're not playing tight at all as this one misses for ball three. So three balls and no strikes. And what ends up happening is it ends up being better than if you were in the actual game, and I was kind of getting razzed a little bit because of it, which was funny by my teammates. But that's kind of what we're seeing tonight. It feels like there's less pressure on the game. And when there's less pressure, you're having more fun. Here's a 3-0 right down the outside corner for strike one. And when you play loose and you have fun, all of a sudden you're in complete control of the ball game and yourselves, as they are right now. And you can see it the way they're playing. They're playing loose. They're playing fun. They're having fun out here. And that's, again, that's why you see the record of 15-3. Here's the 3-1 delivery from Swetland. Foul back to the screen for strike two as Swetland battles back in this at-bat. And now has worked the count full on Aaron Del Real, the catcher, who's 0-2 tonight.
Yeah, I'll fill up the count again, back-to-back at-bats with a full count here, and see if Swetland can win it again. No double play needed or possible, but the punch out here would be great for him and send the Colt 45s back to the dugout.
Now the payoff. Check swing in and out of the glove of Jones, the catcher, and he did not go around, so missed inside for ball four. And he draws a walk. The first walk issued tonight, and the second free pass. That will bring up Raul Ramos, who's hit the ball hard, and hit the ball hard last night especially. He's flown out and singled tonight. Right-in hitter to the plate here in the top half of the seventh. Even stance, just a bit open, and ever so vertical stance as well with the run on first, donning the pink batting gloves as well. First pitch is bounced in there. Moves the feet out of the way for ball one.
Yeah, great job by Tyler Jones keeping that in front of him there and actually popping up and thinking about making that back pick attempt on Del Real, but decides not to. Obviously, probably makes the wiser decision. Don't want to put Del Real in scoring position if he misses that throw there.
Yeah, hot feet right there. Hot feet. Pulled him back. There's a 1-0. Right there on the outside corner. Threw him the off-speed. At the knee to even the count up at one ball and one strike.
And a cool, breezy June night here. Incredible. Deep June. We are a week out from the 4th of July, and we're sitting at, I don't know what temperature we're sitting at, but it is cool.
Apparently 71 degrees, although I'd argue it's cooler than
that. Yeah, I do think it is a little cooler than
this
that.
This one. Styled back toward the parking lot. For strike two.
Maybe a little wind chill.
Yeah, the wind chill factor of 1 degree.
Yeah, I was about to say, use wind chill with a grain of salt here in Redding, California. Wind chill isn't much of a thing. Despite the late fire season, I feel like August, September, sometimes the wind does get whipping, and that's when it gets dangerous.
1-2, broken bat chopper toward the shortstop, Carroll Hill. Shovel pass to Paulos on the bag for the 6-4, and the side is retired. It's time to stretch here at Tiger Field, as it is 11-0 as we head to the home half of the seventh. Tonight's game sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash. They're at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding.
Whether you are traveling to or from the lake or river or on vacation, even off to a barbecue this summer, spruce up your ride at Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Whether you are traveling to or from the lake or river or on vacation, even off to a barbecue this summer, spruce up your ride at Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean. Summer travel is here, and it can be tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or road grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Summer travel is tough on a vehicle. Whether it's dust or dirt, pollution or pollen, sap and baked in grime, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They offer car wash packages starting at $11. Quick and Clean's gentle, automated pull-through wash includes a hand scrub pre-clean and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Adrian Crosset on in relief of Nicola, who was easily the best pitcher tonight for these Zephyrs. He went 2 innings of no run, singular hit baseball, and had a phenomenal outing. Did not even, I take that back, walked one batter, struck out 2. Oh, check that, struck out 4. I counted up my K's incorrectly. So, very well-established outing for Nicola as Adrian Crosset, the lefty from Walnut Creek, California, will face off against these Colt 45s. Parker Bone Jr. and Tyler Jones due up for the 45s.
Yeah, and Parker on the night. 2 walks, a fly out, and a ground out, so yet to get on via the hit we see him do so often. I feel like he's cooled off the last couple weekends. He hasn't played poorly in any way. He's done great out in center field patrolling that. He's a great leader on the team, obviously. Does a great job. But I feel like he has cooled off just slightly on the offensive side of things at the plate. But still not even halfway through this campaign yet. Just pushing halfway through this campaign. So a lot of time to turn things around for him and get back to those higher averages. He will watch one miss for ball one. Not that his numbers are poor in any way, shape, or form. He has done great all year. But, you know, there's hot streaks, there's cool streaks, and there's the middle streaks.
The ebbs and flows.
Right.
So this one misses way upstairs for ball 2. Two balls and no strikes to DJ Parker. Wide open stance for the righty. And one just slotted right in there for a called strike 1. 2-1, the count moves. With nobody out, nobody on, the center fielder, Yost, shaded toward left, just a few steps. The 2-1 is popped up, foul territory, third base side, catcher drifting, Del Real toward the crowd, and going down to his knee will squeeze it.
Yeah, great nice. Grab there. Really tough, too, with the helmet in the hand and going down like a full slide there. Incredible stuff there by Del Real.
Yeah, ranging over up the third baseline about 25, 30 feet. And yeah, DJ Parker cooled off a little bit so far. He's walked, popped out twice, and grounded into a double play. I don't know what exactly it has been, but just not really hitting that ball as well. But still playing well regardless as Patrick Bowen Jr. to the plate now. Bodie Joyner, rather, to the plate now. 6'4", 220 out of McKinleyville, California, University of Jamestown. takes up and away for ball one. Right-hand batter, pinch hitting here. And he'll likely take over at first base in the top of the eighth inning.
I would agree with that.
Wide open stands for the righty. Cut and miss for strike one. Evens the count up at one ball, one strike on the right-hand batter. Waves the bat back and forth. Wide open stance. He's deep in the box with a 2-1 count now. Swing and a miss. Tied him up inside. Makes the count 2-2 now. One ball and two strikes, rather. Joiner in his first AB this weekend, at least. Now the 1-2 delivery from the southpaw, Crosset. Misses wide and unable to be smothered by Del Real. Skipped off of his shin guard. Off to his right. Where Tyler Jones, the Colt 45's backstop, will go over and handle it and give it to the umpire. Doing his due diligence.
We've seen it from both Tylers tonight. Both Jones and Zanheiser.
And on the outside corner, ring him up, strike three call. Joiner just decided to lay off of it and let his fate lie in the hands of the umpire, but unfortunately rung up and gone a-looking. And that is out number two. And now Tyler Jones to the plate. Who watches one flutter in there for a called strike one. He's struck out swinging, singled, been hit by a pitch, and flown out to left tonight. Now here's a chopper toward the shortstop, gloves, off-balance throw toward first, in time! 6-3, a smooth play by Mattier, and the side is retired as the 45s go 1-2-3 for the first time tonight. At the end of seven complete, it's 11-0, the Colt 45s on top.
Tonight's Reading Colt 45s game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Stop by today.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Top of the eighth inning here at Tiger Field. The Colt 45 is on top by a score of 11-0. And two innings remain, and the 45 is trying to get the shooting. Set first, trying to not be shut out, as they've had a rough go of things tonight. But the Colt 45s have displayed their dominance here, as it will be the second inning of work for Braxton Swetland. As the throw made down by the backstop Tyler Jones here in the home half, the top half of the eighth, rather, not the home half of the eighth. And in this 11-0 ball game will be the Zephyrs sending up 9-1-2 in Keith Mattier, the shortstop, Gabe Yost, and Mason Renau. Keith Mattier making that nice 6-3 putout to end things in the seventh. And here's Spencer to take you the rest of the way through the safe inning.
Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, Matty A. so far struck out in the third and grounded out in the fifth. Just his third at-bat of the night, as he will get called for strike here. Was looking. Followed by Yost there in the top of the lineup, and Mason Rennell in the hole right now. Should the inning continue, batting third and manning third, Brendan Lister, or possibly still manning first. Not entirely sure. We'll see. Should the inning continue? If not, we will see him in the ninth, or whoever is in place of him. 0-1 count here, an 11-0 ball game. Scoreless since the third inning. We have gone four straight innings without any runs coming across. As this one's going to miss for ball one, just a little high. Pop out of the glove of Jones, able to deliver it back. 1-1 count here. Sweatland peering on Matty A. As this one misses high again, Jones not able to corral that one. Not expected to necessarily. No runners on. No threat there. Be a 2-1 count. As the umpire will get some hand delivered balls from Pops, I believe that is, that we saw last night, who is on deck now, batting for in the spot of Gabe Yost, if I'm not mistaken. Pops played shortstop last night. Got some burn. Maybe in center field as well, if I'm not mistaken. And a big swing and a miss there. Even up to count 2-2. But yes, it'll be the 34th Brendan Pops up to bat after this at-bat here between Sweatland and Matty A. Here's the 2-2. Just missed. I think some contemplation on his way up from the umpire as well. Didn't know what to call. He'll stick with ball, and it's a full count now. 3-2, Sweatland looking for a knockout. Sweatland kicks and deals. Here's the 3-2. Misses just low and inside, and it will be a full count walk, the second walk of the night for Sweatland and for this Colt 45 team as a whole. And Matty A will get on his first time tonight via the walk. And now Brendan Pops batting in the spot, the number one spot for Gabe Yost. His first at-bat of the night. We saw him bat last night. Some solid stuff, great contact on the ball as well. But just looking to get some runs across, as mentioned earlier by Mr. Jacob Green. Just trying to prevent that shutout. As this one's going to be called strike, good frame. Job there by Tyler Jones. That one was definitely a little bit closer to the zone than I think the umpire saw. But a good job by Jones, able to put that, bring that ball back up from the Southern Hemisphere, as Jacob would say. 0-1 count here. Sweatland misses high, evens up the count. Check swing from Pops didn't go. Even up the count, one apiece.
Yeah, and that is exactly what Jacob would have said had he been doing a play-by-play.
Right.
All the way up from the Southern Hemisphere.
As this one misses just high again as well, the fastball. Right into the glove of Tyler Jones, but just misses slightly high. It'll bring the count to 2-1. Sweatland now trying to stay patient. And if I'm not mistaken, okay, it was called strike out there by, I don't know where I went wrong there, but it definitely looked like he was taking first, but it was called strikeout. This will even up the count 2-2. I thought it was a walk on that full count, but it was called a strikeout. Maybe I just misread the umpire there, so it was a strikeout looking on Keith Matty A. So, empty bases. Bases are empty, one out away, in a 2-2 count here.
I was looking a little confused.
Yeah.
I was like, did I also miss something?
As another missed fastball just high as well, and the check's been coming from Pops, not even close to going all the way. Three balls just missed high at, like, shoulder height from Pops.
And this would be
another full count.
This would be a case of the umpire not always being the most verbally communicative.
Right.
On occasion, especially when there's some protest from the batter.
So yeah, another strikeout here for Sweatland. Full count, one out away, an 11-0 ball game. Here's the payoff swing, and a miss, and he got him there. Pops goes down swinging, and that is out number 2. Back-to-back strikeouts for Braxton Sweatland. His first pair on the night, looking to retire the side here. And number 7, another pinch hitter. By the name of...
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, Dax Trost.
There we go.
From Benicia and Benicia High School. That's right within my stomping grounds.
Awesome.
Hung out there a lot in high school.
As this one's going to miss just inside, check swing. First base umpire says he did not go. That will be 1-0, 11-0 in the ball game. No runners on and two outs away in the top of the eighth. Again, no running or no runs coming across the score since the third inning. But four in the first, four in the second, and three in the third as this one's called strike to even it up 1-1 on Dax Trost from Sweatland.
Benicia has a great coffee shop that actually might have closed down in my time at Simpson, unfortunately. But Java Point Cafe, some fantastic, oh, what was the scone? I think it was a blueberry lemon scone or something like that.
This is high. A blueberry lemon scone, that sounds good.
That was fire. And also Vietnamese coffee, which also equally, if not more, fire. On a beautiful waterfront, First Street, out there in Benicia, California. Beautiful high school football field as well.
Here's the 2-1. Right down the zone, 2-2 count, a little shake there from Trost, a little bit of, I should have pulled the trigger on that one, I think.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Right,
I missed
zone,
my pitch.
So. Yeah, so two balls, two strikes, two outs. 11-0 is the score in the top of the eighth. Down to the last few outs here is Trost and his Zephyrs offense, which has been dormant all night long. And big swing and a miss, and it is going to be another strikeout. Sweatland trots off. Three strikeouts from Sweatland, and we were heading to the bottom of the eighth for the last ups for the Colt 45s, barring a miracle. Three up, three down. Sweatland sits them all down in the top of eight.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by Market and Eureka Way. Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes. Weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. It is Max Downing, who we saw last night for a few innings, getting some burn to finish off this game for the Concord Zephyrs. If I'm not mistaken, that is. Double check the roster real quick for you guys. Or Carson Downing, rather, sorry. My apologies, it'll be Carson Downing, wearing the number 10 for the Zephyrs. As the other number 10 in Nicola pitched earlier through the 4th, 5th, and 6th innings. And now due up for your Colt 45s. We got a pinch hitter here. It is going to be the number 34 of Lucas Pettingill in the DH spot for Tyson Bragg as he will foul this one off and even up the count 1-1. Fouled off the screen toward to his right down that first baseline. So for the second time this series, set two games in a row, it will be Carson Downing for the Concord Zephyrs and Lucas Pettingill here. 1-1 count. First at bat of the night in the DH spot for Pettingill. We'll take a called strike. We'll even have to count one, or bring the count to 1-2 and a shake of the head as well for Pettingill, realizing he missed his pitch as well. Great opportunity to put that one in play.
Yeah, kind of be a dual threat quarterback here. Maybe see what he can do on the hitting side.
Comes a space between second and shortstop. Here, just playing on either side of the bag. We can get one over the head of Carson Downing. And even up the count 2-2 here on a missed pitch just high and inside. Count remains 2-2. Henningill rocking the baby blue glove. Swung on hard. It'll go foul into the lot. And count remain 2-2. Right next to a car and towards the dumpster. Out there. And it sounds like a pedestrian was out there, too. So count remains 2-2. Carson Downing in his first and most likely last inning on the mound. Here's the 2-2 swung on hard by Pennegill, and it does find that gap in between short and second. It's going to be a stand-up single there for Lucas Pennegill on his one and only hit of the night.
Calling your shot right there.
How about that?
On the side. Huge spot in between second base and short, and that's exactly where Pettingill put that baseball.
And now due up is Deegan Palos, an incredible infield player, and he has had himself a textbook night tonight. Unfortunately, not as good on the offensive side. He has just walked once, and he has flown out, struck out, and grounded out. So just looking to do better on the offensive side of things here in the bottom of the lineup. Runner on first in Pettingill. Palos check swing. Doesn't matter. Strike one called anyways. 0-1 count here. And an opportunity for Palos to really open this up. 11-0 is the score here in the eighth inning. Again, haven't seen a run scraped across. As this one's going to get chopped straight up into the air. Playable for first baseman. Called off by second baseman. And dropped. And it might be an infield fly rule. It will not be. And able to make the tag. It will just be switching spots. It will be reaching via the E4 for Deegan Palos. And then thrown out. From 4-6 is Lucas Pettingill for out number one.
Now, here's the thing that I was not prepared for in the slightest of ways. One, you knowing the infield fly rule.
Okay. Well,
just because most baseball fans
I'm offended,
don't
but also flattered.
I was
at the same time.
I was going to say that is meant as a compliment.
Yeah.
Because there's baseball aficionados who don't understand the baseball, the fly ball. Oh my goodness. The infield fly rule.
Are you one of them?
And I'm one of them. I know it until it happens, and I go, wait, this just happened. So I want to say it's with one out.
Right.
Or less than two.
And we are going to get Adrian Lopez here again. So he must be manning left field for Timmy Ayers, if I'm not mistaken.
Breaking ball drops in beautifully for
and
a called strike.
If I'm not mistaken, it's a 1-1 count here.
Yeah, it's a 1-1 count.
Runner on first, and Deegan Palos reached via the air. Lucas Pettingill was thrown out off that air. Now one out away, 11-0 in ballgame.
Oh, so, okay, here's why, here was the stipulation why it wasn't called infield fly. It's because it was drifting over in what would be constituted as not a playable area on the infield because it has to be playable, and it was close enough to foul territory
right.
That the umpire's not going to call it.
That is understandable.
Which, in that case, is exactly what happened. And back-to-back breaking balls just drop in there.
And that is going to sit down Adrian Lopez. Good-looking couple of pitches there from Carson Downing. And again, just a casual.
Didn't even really.
The umpire just letting us know that he did strike out in the most casual way possible. And that's probably how I missed that last one at the top of the eighth. My apologies for that.
Yeah, I've never seen a strikeout call that casual. Not even really a fist and a
two outs away.
Pump.
Right. Two outs away, Deegan Palos on first base, and Marquette Carroll swings at once, going to foul off of his shin there. But he's got some protection there, luckily. 0-1 is the count here, and down to the last out. Again, we have not seen a run since the bottom of the third, so it has been, according to my math, 27 outs since we have seen a run come across home plate.
That's a whole baseball game.
Right. On one side.
On one side.
On one side of things. There you go.
Caballero on
this
deck.
He's going to miss
well.
Even the count 1-1. Two outs away. Palos on first. 1-1 is the count. An 11-0 ball game. Bottom of the eighth inning here. Mark Anthony Carroll takes one inside. Even count 2-1. He has reached every single time. This is his sixth and final at bat. You'd like to think, at least. He has come around short twice. He has singled three times, been hit by pitch, and reached via the air. So 4-for-4 on the night. And this one's going to get dropped, and Palos will decide to hold. And count will go to 3-1. And I'm sure, as tempting as it is, it may be for Mark Anthony Carroll to swing here. I think he will, if this one isn't right down the heart, and one he realizes he can really take a poke at. He'll watch this one and be perfect on the night. He will swing anyways, and grabbed by the third baseman and going the short way, making the 5-4 putout. And I guess you could argue reaching on the fielder's choice is Mark Anthony Carroll.
Technically, in a way, yeah sure.
More or less. But that will retire the side regardless.
And we are heading to the top of the ninth inning. 11-0 is the score in favor of the Colt 45s. Now it looks like we will have one more pitcher making his way to the mound for the Reading Colt 45s here at Tiger Field for the ninth.
And it looks like it will be Tyler Shepherd out there to close out this ball game and finish up off this Saturday evening of baseball. Tonight's game is sponsored by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Reed Way in downtown Reading. They take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today at Market and Reed Way in downtown Reading.
Whether it's birds or bugs, dirt and grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has car wash packages starting at only $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. So whether you're off to work or off to play, stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
KCNR Shasta Reading.
Ninth inning, but essentially the bottom, 11 runs needed for the Zephyrs in order to keep this game alive, and considering they have gotten zero so far on the night, and it's Colt 45's defense behind Tyler Shepherd and the pitchers as well in Chase Phillips and Braxton Sweatland, the way they've been playing, I don't see them bringing a run across, let alone 11. And not in an offensive way whatsoever. Not in an offensive way. I know they have a great offense, but the way the Colt 45s have played, I feel like it's self-explanatory, really.
I was going to say, or to jinx it at this point.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, not superstitious by any means, but I am a little stitious. And, again, you just never know what can happen. 5 hits.
Definitely.
And 1 error, no runs for Concord. 45's 11 runs, 12 hits, 1 error, and you'll see what they do here. Although the 45s did leave 11 runners aboard. And it's kind of been the theme of...
One run for one runner there.
Yeah, just this season in a sense. As pinch hitting here in this ninth inning, Andy Moon... Got some burn last night.
And I'm sure if we were calling the game, we'd see him out here tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
Pretty solid player.
And did a great job of folding down, what was it, third base last night?
I believe so, that. Or
yeah, third base. Yes. Over there in the hot corner. Could never forget a third base.
Right.
I believe he made some dazzling plays out there as well, flashing the leather.
Yes. Watch
this. Working a 1-1 count right here. With nobody out, nobody on. Shepherd kicks and deals. This is low and away for ball two. Shepherd out of Simpson University. Pitching this last year for the Simpson University Redhawks, Redding's coined hometown university. Now the 2-1 from the southpaw. The lefty kicks and deals. Right there, dotted one on the outside corner. Belt high as the count moves to 2 balls and 2 strikes on Andy Moon, right-hand batter.
Yeah, great-looking pitch there from Shepherd. He might as well just throw the arm as hard as he can because he's got one inning to work with, and that's all.
Now the 2-2 delivery. Not quite sure where it missed. Thought it was dotted on the inside corner,
yeah.
Right at the belt, but just a bit inside.
I'm perplexed, maybe. To say the least, I will say.
It definitely wasn't high. I was right at the belt.
Yeah.
Now the count fills at 3 balls and 2 strikes. Shepherd kicks and deals the payoff. As shot toward the first baseman, Joyner over there gets some action. He'll take it himself on the 3, unassisted. That is out number 1. Joyner taking over there in the 8th inning. Now 1 gone. Caballero in the game at 3rd as well.
And it'll be Sean O'Connell up for the Zephyrs here, getting his 1 at-bat for the night. The lefty, who we also saw last night.
And just some pinch hitters coming through. Just trying to give the 45s a different look.
Right.
Just see if they can get something going, as this one will plunk the arm of O'Connell and a very painful base runner. That's another hit batsman for 45's pitching tonight. I should say, shouldn't say another necessarily, but only the second, rather. But still, 2 hit batsmen.
That's how the game was going, yeah. Now it'll be...
Brochard to the plate.
There you go.
Look at us. We're on it tonight.
We're locked in. My goal is always to beat Chad Johnson on the PA. It's just sometimes that doesn't quite happen.
He's good, too.
He's good.
You can tell he's done this for years.
Right. And again, and what a lot of people don't know is even as a PA announcer, you have a lot of papers out there in front of you.
Right.
Same thing as a broadcaster. It's just as a PA guy, you got to be more on top of it. There's a live reaction.
Yeah.
You know, we don't deal with the reaction in the best way possible. We don't deal with the live reaction. We can get names wrong all day long. We're on radio. You can't tell us if we're right or wrong. We, of course, you know, trying and striving for perfection. Is this one? Yeah, 100%.
We'll usually hear if we're saying something wrong at some point.
This one catches the bottom of the zone on the outside corner. Even
which is the way
one ball, one strike.
Which is the way we'd want it, I'd say. Try to bring the best show possible.
Yeah. And, again, strive for perfection. You end up with excellence.
Right.
You know. Here's a 1-1. Swing and a miss for strike two. The Colt 45s are a double play away from putting this ball game away as well. 11-0, Caballero in the game at third base, and Joyner getting some burn over there at first. Outfield shaded a couple of steps toward left. Here's the 1-0 delivery to the right-hand hitting for Shard. Misses up near the shoulders for ball two as the count moves to two balls and two strikes. With one out here in the top of the ninth inning of an 11-0 ball game. In front of a crowd of what's dwindled down to about $125. It was at one point north of 250.
Yeah, pretty full night out here at the ballpark at Tiger Field. Not much else to say, I guess.
Yeah, and again, the fullest it will ever be here at Tiger Field, where it's pretty much standing room only, is 4th of July. Now Shepard kicks and deals the 2-2 after the foul ball. On the outside corner, ring him up, strike three call. The most nonchalant ringing him up you'll see. And that is out number two. Down to their final out are the Zephyrs. And it will be up two. See if we can get it here before Chad.
Ian Hughes, the number eight.
Number eight. And that's always nice when we have a second set of eyes, too.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Shout
it's unfair.
Color commentary.
It's unfair.
Cut on and miss for strike one. I mean, goodness gracious, how'd you find that on the paper? I'm still having trouble finding it.
It's about...
Oh, there we go.
Ian Hughes. Center.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is in alphabetical order by first name, which always throws me off because I'm used to number order.
Right.
And this one misses. There we go. One ball and one strike with two gone.
Opportunity here for the shutout. Knock on wood, of course, for the Colt 45s. First one I've seen out here, I think. If I'm not mistaken, calling the game with you.
One.
Shutout.
Ooh, taken on the inside corner at the knee for a called strike two. Yeah, chance for the shutty. Shepard, a deep breath, working from that third base side. The lefty comes set. Runner at first being held on by Joyner. Peers in. The 1-2 delivery from Shepard. Style tips back to the screen, and we'll do it again as the tension builds.
There you go. Absolutely.
The 45s.
The most tense the game has been all night, actually, I do think.
I would agree here. Colt 45s, of course, wanting that shutout, and Ian Hughes with the socks up high. The blue socks up high and the gray pants widen his stance from the right-hand batter's box, left-on-right matchup. Shepard kicks, steals the 1-2, hit in the air toward left center, giving chase is Parker all the way up the alley. He'll settle underneath it and squeeze it, and the side is retired as the ball game comes to a close. Final time of the game, 2 hours and 49 minutes in front of a crowd of about 275. The win goes to Chase Phillips, and the loss goes to Jack Downing. And what a job here by the Colt 45s. They get the shutty, only allow 5 hits, and... for Concord, no runs on 5 hits, 1 error. They left 1 for the Colt 45s, improving to 16-3 on the year. 11 runs on 12 hits, 1 error. They left 11. And what a showing from the 45s, led by Chase Phillips, who went 6 innings. He's the one that allowed all 5 of those hits. And in 6 innings of work, a stellar outing from Mr. Chase Phillips, the 6'8". Sophomore out of Taft, California. I mean, just powerful stuff off the rip from Phillips.
Yeah, just a complete game from this Colt 45s all the way through. All 3 pitchers did a great job. Well, Phillips, of course. Sweatland did great as well. And then coming in and finishing off there with a couple of Ks, in blanking on his name, of course, Tyler Shepard. But yeah, just the most complete game I've seen the Colt 45s play. They win 11-0, and I said last night I was extremely impressed with the way they played when they were down 4-1 most of the game, or the first half of the game, and then a dozen runs coming in the fifth. Tonight might top that. They've won now by 10 and 11 to this Zephyrs team. This Zephyrs team that I was very impressed with yesterday, and today not so much. But obviously, it's baseball. It can go either way each and every day. I wouldn't be surprised if the Zephyrs came out and won tomorrow.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And they left 5 aboard tonight, which, again, not horrible by any means. They still hit the ball well, just not as well as last night. And, again, great stuff from the Zephyrs. They just couldn't string it all together. It came in spots, and when it comes in spots like that, it's a lot harder to be successful. And that was what was shown tonight. But we won't be on the call tomorrow, but it's 7:15. This ball game will take place. Come on out to Tiger Field. Take it in live or tune into the live stream on the Game Changer app here to watch that live stream. And for Jacob Green and Spencer Slinging this weekend, the 45s take at least 2 of 3. They'll look for the sweep tomorrow and to bust out the brooms against the Concord Zephyrs. The 45s have now won 2 ball games straight. They improved to 16-3. And for the final time tonight here from Tiger Field, Concord Zephyrs 0 and your Reading Colt 45s. Have a great weekend. Everybody will be back out here next weekend on KCNR. As always, special thanks to David Wiley engineering things for us back in the studio. For Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange here from Tiger Field, saying thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Here. You're just observing. This is not Republican Democrat yet. Listen to Brad Lander, by the way, who took out a very left wing Trump hater in Dan Goldman over in New York City. Cut to.
Our party needs to admit that Joe Biden's hug BB strategy was a catastrophic failure. Yeah. I believe it made us complicit in genocide. Bombs we paid for killed over 70,000 Palestinians, mostly women and children. Tanks we sent made over 1 million people homeless. Humanitarian aid is still not getting in.
The hug of Joe Biden. They're not talking about George Bush. They're not talking about Donald Trump. The hug of Joe Biden, a BB, after the October 7th attack was a mistake.
Yeah, look, this is New York. So this guy now represents lower Manhattan and some of the more liberal parts of Brooklyn. One of these new members represents what's called the commie corridor, northern Brooklyn and southern Queens. But let me just tell you.
He's Jewish.
There are Democrats. Yeah, this guy's, Lander is Jewish. This guy and the two women who got elected are now today unsettling Democrats in places like Middletown, Ohio and Dallas, Texas. I mean, you know, you think in South Texas they're going to go for abolish ICE? You know, this is a nutty agenda. Now, it may sell well in parts of the four of the 5 boroughs of New York City, but the Democrats outside of New York City are beginning to think, oh, really? We're going to have to defend this stuff in battleground districts in Nebraska and Ohio and Pennsylvania, and we're going to try and hope to swing Senate seats in places like Maine and Alaska with nuts like this being the face of our party. You know, look, the Republicans had an insurgent movement in 2010, the Tea Party movement, and it unsettled the establishment of the Republican Party because these were newcomers. But they were generally in agreement with the basic philosophy of the Republican Party and conservative movement, less government, lower taxes, and focus on economic growth. These people are at war with what the Democratic Party stands for. You can remember the time when a New York Democrat was, if you thought about them, they were a New York cop, they were a Catholic priest, they were a working class family of ethnic origins who were looking to find their way up, and it was a bunch of Jews, and now they're at war, and they are saying people like that, the cop, the Catholic priest, the the observant Jew, the small business person, the entrepreneur, the person who had a social conscience but was a business person. Those people have no role in our party because we're left wingers.
So if you were Hakeem Jeffries today, what do you do? You lost, and you're supposed to be speaker. Are you still the leader?
Well, he's going to have, you know, you think that the Freedom Caucus has been problematic for Republican speakers like John Boehner and even the current speaker. Think about what Hakeem Jeffries is going to face if the Democrats do take the House and he becomes the leader of that caucus. These people are going to be demanding votes on things like free kindergarten and abolish ICE and constrict, you know, the immigration authorities and open the borders and cut the military and reduce support for law enforcement. You know, impeach Trump. I mean, this is going to be if he becomes speaker, if the Democrats take the House, the majority might be made by left-wingers like this from places on the East Coast and the far West Coast.
So let's talk about Iran, if we could. The President of the United States yesterday cut 18.
You want to see trouble? Let them have a nuclear weapon. We're doing very well with Iran. They've been decimated. And we're making a deal with them, and we'll see how that all goes. And right now, as you probably heard yesterday, we had 19 barrels of oil, 19 million barrels of oil come off. And that's the biggest in the history of the strait, the Hormuz Strait. Our stock market is through the roof, and oil prices are tumbling. We actually hit for a moment today. In fact, I think it's going to break it, $70 a barrel. That's lower than we were when we started. And it's been amazing. And the big thing is, Iran will not have a nuclear weapon.
Where are we at, Carl? You know what it's like dealing with that region.
Yeah, well, look, the president's making three big bets. The first bet is that the economy will be in better shape because oil prices will come down. The second bet is that he is going to be able to get a good deal with the Iranians that will constrict their nuclear programs and constrict their presence in the region. And finally, a big bet that Iran is going to live up to that agreement. So the first one, I think the economy is going to get better because oil prices are going to come down, and that's going to power the recovery. But the other two are very much up in the air, and I worry about the callousness of the Iranians, and I worry about the president not thinking some of these things through. I thought it was incredibly problematic that he said, well, of course they can have ballistic missiles. Others in the region have them, so why can't they? Well, doesn't he understand that the Iranians have been trying to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile to strike the United States? They've already got a missile that can go 4,000 miles and strike our bases at Diego Garcia. You put an intercontinental ballistic missile and marry a nuclear warhead on it, and we live in a much different world if Iran achieves that. And the president said something very wise in 2020 when he was criticizing the Obama agreement with Iran. He said, Iran has never won a war, but they have never lost a negotiation. And I think he needs to carry that in mind when he's talking about, like, giving them $300 billion. Where's that coming from? Out of the pockets of our allies in the region? You think they want to give Iran $300 billion? You know, what about reducing our presence in the region? The Iranians are demanding that. Why are we silent on their support of terrorist movements? We have J.D. Vance criticizing Israel at the very moment when the Israelis are trying to get a deal with Hezbollah, and the president of Lebanon is saying, I want Hezbollah out of our country, and that's nowhere in the negotiations, support for the terrorist movements that Iran has been providing for decades.
I 100% agree with you. I want you people to hear what J.D. Vance said about Israel.
Donald J. Trump is the only head of state in the entire world who is sympathetic to the nation of Israel at this moment in time. And he happens to be the head of state of the world superpower. If I was in the cabinet of the Israeli government, I might not be attacking the only powerful ally that I have anywhere left in the entire world. And the second message I would give to some of those cabinet members, Bibi, to his credit, has not gone down this path.
So I was wildly insulted and angered by that comment, and I wonder what you thought.
If I were the Vice President of the United States, I would not be kicking our ally around in the Middle East who has stood by us through thick and thin, and it represents an important part of our foreign policy. Our commitment to Israel is strong. It's important for us to support the only democracy in the region, and it is particularly strong, important for us to be strong when they have to deal with terrorists on their borders. And why aren't we up there saying, you know what, Iran, we want you to stop support of Hezbollah. We want to stand in support of not only Israel, but of the freedom of Lebanon. You're so concerned about the sovereignty of Iran. How about showing some respect for the sovereignty of Israel and Lebanon by withdrawing your support of Hezbollah?
Yeah,
and instead, they get this lecture from the vice president. I thought it was over the top and insulting.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And I would add that I noticed the tone has been different since. And I saw that one of the Jewish supporters of the president, Adelson, came out and said, I'm going to withdraw my support if it happens again, or she's withdrawing her support entirely. Sheldon Adelson's widow.
Dr. Miriam Adelson, who's a terrific human being. And look, the president has a great many allies, I suspect, who have said to him, Mr. President, why are you allowing the vice president to go out there and gratuitously insult Israel? He didn't need to say those things. He could have made his point that the president is a strong advocate for Israel, and I hope the Israeli government, the Israeli people understand that we stand firmly with you and we're working on behalf of the peace of the region. That would have been appropriate, and then make your private comments to them. Tell the minister to shut up. But to do it that publicly was like, you know, it was like a, you know, beating his chest and looking, trying to look like a big guy. And instead, he looked like he was simply going out of his way to insult one of our great allies.
Yeah, I think that in the big picture, I think this is the time you stand by your allies. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks. So, you know, we watch Europe and their anti-Semitism rage. We watch it sometimes in the Middle East. But thanks to the great work of the previous Trump administration, we got a bunch of Gulf states with good relations with Israel. And we also have one country, the UAE, got a piece of the Iron Dome from Israel. So everybody knows Israel does not attack people that don't attack them. That's pretty clear.
No, and anyway, but we've wasted enough time on the vice president. I hope he got a sharp lecture when he got home from the president. And if not, I hope he got some candid advice from his advisors that you didn't do yourself, or more importantly, do the United States any good by going out of the way to insult Israel.
Tallarico, do you think he's doing a good job in defining himself? Or do you think Paxton's doing a good job defining Tallarico?
Paxton's not doing any kind of a job in defining Tallarico. The tension is all inside Camp Tallarico because he's trying to be smart by moderating his views. For example, you know, we need to support the police, and I voted for a state budget that dramatically increased support for law enforcement. But his record keeps coming up and biting him. So the question is going to be, how does he handle that over the course of the campaign? My sense is he's going to handle it by continually trying to be moderate in tone and voice and point to the parts of his record where he did things like vote for the state budget. But I think he's going to try and cover up for the very left-wing views that he has by going after Paxton over all of the scandals in his background. Look, I live in Austin. Austin is like Moscow on the Little Colorado River. I mean, you talk about a left-wing place. And Tallarico originally popped up by taking a suburban Republican seat in the county north of us, Williamson County, and by being a sort of moderate-sounding Democrat. And then they redistricted him with his agreement so that most of his district now is in northern Travis County, which is, you know, the People's Republic of Travis County. And he came out with his true beliefs, which are very left-wing. So the tension is going to be for the next, 5 months, how does he deal with the aspect of that at the same time that he's trying to move to the center in order to get disaffected Republicans and independents. And he's got a shot there. Remember, even before all of these scandals came out, Paxton trailed the rest of the Republican ticket by an average of 177,000 votes 8 years ago and 155 4 years ago.
Besides that, you really don't know much about the race. Carl Rove, thanks so much. Awesome job. Back in a moment.
Both sides, all opinions. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon,
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
1 year ago, Cardinal Robert Prevost was elected Pope Leo XIV as the first American to ever become the Bishop of Rome. In the first official biography of the Pope, author Elise Allen says Leo has a special message to American Catholics.
Building friendship, building community, remembering that in spite of our differences, we can be friends and we can treat each other as human beings. You know, I think that's his big message.
And it's a message that has been tested and making headlines in the last few weeks as the Pope and President Trump sparred over disagreements about the war in Iran. Allen was the first journalist to have a lengthy interview with Pope Leo after his election, and she says Leo has a quiet strength that may surprise people, but one that can take on the world leaders. He was well prepared to stand his ground even against the President of the United States.
I think Leo, you know, was not entirely surprised by that, but he also said very clearly he is not trying to attack anybody with what he says. He's trying to preach the gospel, and I think he sincerely means that.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with the Fox Celebrity Profile with Jason Segel, Samara Weaving, and director Yorma Taconi for the dark comedy remake Over Your Dead Body. The story is full of outrageous action as it centers around a couple on a remote cabin getaway whose plans to kill the other go awry when strangers crash their trip.
Some of those scenes were really funny and we were laughing, and other ones felt really real and horrific and terrifying.
While you're not taking actual punches, like you are falling and going through the mud and getting whacked with stuff in the head.
The film has an edge of horror, so Weaving shared her expertise with her co-star.
She told me to learn in the mirror like 20 different versions of scared, because we're going to be scared for like 45 minutes to an hour of the movie, and you don't want to be making the same face for an hour.
They enjoyed filming together in Finland, where Siegel made sure to make himself at home.
I would take these long, weirdo walks through Finland.
You knew everyone.
Yeah.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On March 5th, 1946, Sir Winston Churchill gave his famous Iron Curtain speech at Westminster College in Missouri. The speech was deemed by many to mark the onset of the Cold War.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere. And all our subjects, in one form or another, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high and in some cases increasing measure of control from Moscow. This is certainly not the liberated Europe we fought to build up.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The top.
talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, I got coming up next is going to be Captain Limbaugh. You're going to love her message, not only remembering Rush, how great he was, also what he's done for the country in terms of the children's young adult books that he put together to keep the American story entertaining, interesting, and accurate. So as we look at America 250, you got hard time finding people who have that patriotism on the left. Just hand a kid, your uncle, your nephew, your niece this book and just say, you're going to love this book. And then when at the end say, it all happened. And then maybe you could bring him to the actual spot where it happened if you live in the vicinity. Captain Limbaugh next. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Business is booming at Redding Heating and Air, and we have a simple philosophy. Our neighbors deserve elite talent. We are looking for the absolute best service technicians and installers in the North State.
That's right. We aren't just looking to fill a seat. We're looking for pros who take pride in their craft and care about the community we serve.
If you're at the top of your game, you belong in a company that respects your expertise. Because here, we take the trust of our neighbors personally.
We're hiring service technicians and installers right now. We offer the best compensation in town because we believe the best of the best deserve to be treated that way.
If you're a seasoned pro ready to lead in a company where excellence is the standard, we want you on our team.
No joke. We've got the work. If you've got the skills, come join the family.
Service technicians and installers, apply today to Redding Heating and Air. Visit reddingheatingair.com to submit your application. Redding Heating and Air, old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Looking to grow your business locally? Get your message heard loud and clear on KCNR Radio, serving all of Shasta County. Whether you run a small business, a local service, or have an event that needs buzz, KCNR's trusted hosts and loyal audience can help your brand stand out. Affordable packages, custom ads, and a voice that delivers results. Advertise smart, advertise local, advertise with KCNR Radio. Visit KCNR1460.com or call 530-605-4565.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Rob Keenan, KIXE-PBS General Manager. I want to thank Redding Rancheria for their support over the years, for providing funding with our story time books for families in the local area.
Jake Mangus with Mercy Foundation North. We'd like to thank Redding Rancheria for being a great partner in healthcare and a great partner in giving.
Redding Rancheria.
proud to play our part.
Invest in your future today with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready fast with one of our high-demand career technical programs like nursing, heavy equipment, and welding, or work on transferring to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement with the TAG or ADT programs. Full-time students get 2 years tuition-free. Fall classes start August 17th. Visit ShastaCollege.edu/start to make your success a reality at Shasta College.
Show that call was to an employee of the company that owned the development. At the time, Ramsey was a sales manager. After Ramsey drove off erratically, the witness went to the home and found Auckland unresponsive. Two search warrants were executed at Ramsey's home, including one carried out less than a month after the shooting. In both cases, the document says authorities found guns, illegal substances, and posters threatening violence. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
You want truth, you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
To the back post, knocked down. Wheeler, nice little dummy that allowed Yilmaz to run onto it, trying to return. Arda Güler! Able to capitalize on that loose ball in the middle. Beats Matt Turner. Turkey tied the game inside of 10 minutes.
And then, of course, they get the equalizer early on in the second half when Berhalter would score. He's proven himself. He's valuable off the bench anyway. But after starting and playing the whole game, he showed how good he is. But what am I talking about? When Kobe Jones has made himself available, 1994 World Cup, a World Cup member, outstanding player, NCAA champion, Olympian, three World Cups overall, and two-time MLS Cup champion, Kobe Jones has turned into an outstanding broadcaster. Kobe, welcome. Great to see you.
Ryan, great to see you too. It's been quite some time.
I know. You've gotten better looking with age. And you look like you jump on the field tomorrow.
Well, that's not quite true, but I appreciate the compliment.
Right. So what did you think of the game last night?
I thought it was good. You know, I had to, you know, watch it a little bit after than everybody else because like you know, I was broadcasting, but I thought it was a good performance by the U.S. and very good as far as allowing some of the players get some time on the field. Because that is so important, making sure that they're participants within this World Cup.
Because you got 26 people on the roster, and you're really playing 13. And this time you had a chance to add 9 starters, right?
Yeah, and I think this is something that people have to realize. And I know I've seen a lot of the headlines, a lot of the talk, and people are just like so disappointed. But you got to play the long game in this type of situation. And it isn't a one-off. This is a tournament type situation. And you know, as you get into these knockout rounds, there's the possibility of getting into 120 minutes and penalty kicks. So you have to have players that are ready, know what it's going to be like, you know, stepping onto the pitch in a World Cup.
So when you talk about overtime, is it sudden death?
No, no.
Oh, you'll play it out.
Yeah, you'll be playing the 2:15s, and if it's still tied then into the penalty case.
So Turkey had nothing to play for, and the U.S. had nothing to play for. So we had players trying to establish themselves, and I want people to hear how it ended because I had to be up at 2:30, so I gave it the first half. And the second half, I find out in extra time, in injury time, this was what happened, cut 43.
It's not over yet. Turkey is going to have a throw-in here. It's into Arda Güler, their big star. Pulisic, the USA's big star, gets nutmegs. Güler still trying to get in. Chance for a cross. Comes back to the top of the box. Now it's clipped in at the backside. Matt Turner, it stabs home. Turkey score the winning goal in the 98th minute. They might be going home tomorrow, but they're going wild now.
And they went home with a victory. So when that ended, I think people were crushed. I think the coach, Pochettino, I watched some of the interview. He said, hey, will you congratulate us on getting through and stop talking about the loss? He sounded like President Trump like that. Stop asking those questions.
Well, I think it's, Look, I think two things can be right at one time. Yes, of course, you're going to be disappointed that the U.S. didn't get through and have that situation of being able to say, OK, we won every single game. But the reality is they did win the group. You know, that was the goal of the team, was to win the group. And that's exactly what they did. And the goal, to a degree, of that game is what we've established already, was to get some time for players that haven't had that time, that may be called upon in this next round to come through in some big way, in some sort of fashion.
So, that game is over. Bosnia is next. It's Wednesday night. Bosnia, we know, eliminated Italy, shocked Italy again, knocked them out of the World Cup. And they're young, we understand. They don't have a rich World Cup history. Can you give us an idea of how they play, and how do you think the U.S. will line up against them?
Let me start with the Bosnian team. I was fortunate to call their game their last game, and looking at how they play, they are a very physical team. You know, they have the legend in Edin Dzeko up top, and he's absolutely a beast as far as a target. He's always moving, and he's excellent, you know, as far in front of the net. So I think he's someone that you have to really pay attention to. But what I've noticed with them, their wingers are very skilled. They are young, but they are very skilled. They like to come across the box and shoot from distance. So that's one thing that the U.S. is going to have to really pay attention to. I would say as well, we can't underestimate, you know, any team, because now once you hit the knockout stage, you know, in a World Cup, anything can happen. That being said, I think the U.S. are in a prime position to get a result against this Bosnian side. I think you'll see along the lines of what you saw in the first game, now that Pulisic is healthy as well, so expect him to be back, probably playing, I would say at least, he's probably starting, and if he can last, you know, the 90, but probably expect at least like 60 minutes, you know, from the player like that. And then just look at that first game for the U.S., and that's where you're going to see probably that main lineup, Balogun and such, and McKinney and the usuals.
Right, that we got used to. So, Kobe, if I put you the coach of the team, if you tell me I got two good wingers to worry about on either side, do I just tell the midfielders defense first and go all the way back? Or do I put four in the back? How would you handle that?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I always think with the wingers and that it's a game of cat and mouse. It's like, who's going to dominate? Who's going to pin the other one back, you know, more? So I would say, okay, they have good wingers, but they're not going to be dangerous if they're playing defense all the time. So you want to feed a Pulisic as much as possible on the offensive side, where he can get behind the wingers, and that's going to force them to track back defensively and consistently. And then you can do whatever damage you can there. And then, you know, as they do come forward, when they do have those opportunities where the wingers have the ball, you want your defensive midfielders to slide out from one side or the other to give that defensive support. So your wing back, Your fullback out wide, isn't by themselves all the time 1v1.
So, you know, your team didn't have an MLS. You know, you had some players playing overseas, but you guys were able to train together for years, and you had this tight unit. Everyone got the chance to know you. Nobody would doubt how tight you guys. You had your problems. I got it, but you were extremely tight. So, do you look at how would you rate this locker room and this 26-person roster, who really came together late and didn't have to qualify, which also oftentimes is taxing but bonding?
Yeah, I think this group is doing a very good job of bonding, maybe bonding through a little bit of the strife over the last year, where they were being criticized a lot and not getting the results that were expected. And I think it's a different world now, right? So when all those criticisms come in, these players can communicate with one another, you know, calling across the world and bonding in that way, talking about the games, you know, reminiscing about the games, talking about what they need to do. I think that's the difference from like my era. It's just like, okay, the game is done. There's the criticism, and you're kind of on your own. It was very difficult, you know, to get in touch with people overseas and such. So now I think they've come together as a unit. And I think there's a good understanding of the hierarchy within the organization, and the ones that have been there for a while, the leaders in the McKinneys and the Pulisics, have stepped up and stand out, you know, from the rest. Where if there's any issues or anything that needs to be dealt with, they're handling it all internally.
So now that there's these hydration breaks, it's a chance to coach, right? It's a chance to get to you guys. You know, instead of bringing one guy aside and whispering in his ear to tell the other guy, now you can really coach. Is Pochettino at that level that you guys played at, that I would never be able to understand, is he able to do things tactically that could make a difference now that you're coming over at the halfway point of every half?
Yes. Yes, without a doubt. And not just Pochettino. You see it with all the teams. You know, they're all taking advantage of it. And if you really pay attention to it, you notice in some of those teams a shift in the play. You notice there's a lot more attacking for some of the teams and some goals that occur, you know, right after. Because in that moment in time, instead of Pochettino being on the sidelines and trying to get someone's attention and telling, you know, hey, pass this message on to someone, he can bring everyone together and can get in their face, you know, can talk to them calmly or whatever to make sure that it gets done. Because I would tell you from the perspective of a player, you know, there's a lot of times during the match where a coach could be screaming and you kind of glance over and he's trying to get your attention and you're just like, whatever, I got things to do. You know, I got to concentrate on what's at hand. But now with the match breaks here, you can have that time. You can understand. You can shift things tactically as well as far as positioning, telling players where to go defensively that a coach has seen from the sidelines.
Now, I don't know how much you had to study the game. You had your own game. But do you know anybody that you think played themselves into first guy off the bench or starting lineup from yesterday?
Well, I just look at Sebastian Berhalter and what he's able to give, and you mentioned it, right? He's a constant contributor, you know, off the bench. Now, the question is, you know, sometimes that's a, you know, you're putting a nail in your own coffin. Does now Pochettino think that, okay, he's my super sub, you know, and doesn't give him the chance to be a starter,
yeah,
you know, in that situation. So, and even with that result yesterday, I don't put any blame on the players. I just think that Pochettino has it in his mind already of how good the team played in the first match, that is his A1. Now, if there's any other injuries or anything like that, then he'll kind of bring other players into the fold.
And get back to that starting 11. So yeah. The next game, if they're lucky enough to, and not lucky, if they play up to their ability and beat Bosnia, the next bracket, it looks to be Egypt or South Korea. I don't think the U.S. should be underdog to either one of those teams. You might have seen them play. I only see highlights. What do you think?
I mean, if you're a U.S. fan, if you're the U.S. team and the coaching staff there, you got to be pretty happy with the route that you have in front of you. I mean, because there's a lot harder routes where you could be ending up in front of a Spain, a Portugal, a Morocco, you know, stuff like this. So if they do get through, you know, Bosnia and then it's in Egypt or South Korea, that's probably one of the better matchups for the United States. And I do think that they have the ability as a complete team, you know, to be, as you said, not the underdog, but dare I say the favorite, you know, in those two matchups.
Kobe, the fans. I mean, people like to say, black it out, I get into the zone. But for 72,000 people in screaming red, white, and blue, singing the national anthem, singing Take Me Home and a salute to the team after, gathering around the scoreboard show by the tens of thousands. I never thought in my lifetime I'd see it. You lived it. I mean, that was your thing. Can you describe the difference of the support these guys are getting? Not that you didn't get good support, but not compared to these guys.
Yeah, this is beyond anything that I could possibly have imagined, and definitely hadn't experienced this. This is another level, like you said, where you have the fans creating their own nostalgia. You know, bringing almost just like making the Take Me Home song being adopted, you know, for this U.S. team and, you know, possibly for all U.S. teams in the future. You know, so this is great. I love how they have shown out and shown up, you know, and been so positive behind this team. I mean, I can say without a doubt, the players, they see it, they recognize it, and they take it to heart. And this helps players on the field, just knowing that they have that support, you know, behind them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think the coach says they're like the 12th man out there, and then Seattle's extremely loud. We'll see if Santa Clara on that, will that be, you know, be something. The other thing is interesting for the players. I love the fact that they seem to love the national anthem. the hands over the heart. Most of them are seeing it. I mean, that's what you need. You need people playing for more than themselves. They're playing for their country, but you wonder sometimes how much they are. But I think our guys are as zoned in to playing for the red, white, and blue as any.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things that happens when you are part of the national team, because you are not just representing yourself anymore, and it goes beyond that. It goes beyond yourself, your family, your city. You're representing your country internationally. You put on that jersey, you have the badge, you know. And one of the things that I think maybe is lost to the fan, but every player will tell you, you realize what it means to wear that badge when you are, you know, not just within the U.S., but when you go around the world and you're playing these other teams, and you'll see your U.S. fans come and support you when you're playing far off in another country. That it just means so much. So to be able to wear the badge and to hear the national anthem and look at the flag and be able to sing that national anthem as it's going, knowing that you're stepping on the field to represent your country, yeah, it's special without a doubt. And I think all those players out there understand that, and they have pride. They have pride with it.
You see it. And Kobe, what's the next game you're calling?
Oh, I get the joy of calling, you know, a big game, Cinderella story game today, the Cape Verde or the Cabo Verde, whichever you want to call it, versus Saudi Arabia. That is happening today.
Awesome. Kobe Jones, thanks so much. I'll talk to you along the way. Hopefully it's going to be a long journey. I know we're going to go to the 19th. I'll talk to you again, but hopefully we're talking about the U.S. team. Kobe Jones, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. Great seeing you again.
Same here. Back in a moment.
Both sides, all opinions. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon?
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
So Ryan and I came to the decision to get life insurance when I was pregnant with our first son. He really wanted us to be taken care of if something happened to him. He provided for our family in life and also after his death. I think that would make him proud. Ethos makes it fast and easy to get life insurance. Apply in minutes and get same day coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcast from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Fox News Books podcast returns for a third season with All American Patriotism, hosted by Fox and Friends weekend co-host Rachel Campos Duffy. Celebrate 250 years of America's greatness through the stories of service, family, and pride that encapsulates the American dream. Join Rachel as she highlights traditional American values that have been at the core of this nation for 250 years and will continue for the next 250. Follow and listen now at foxnewspodcast.com.
America. Raise a glass to our 250th birthday with the Fox News Wine Shop, featuring limited edition USA 250 wines. Plus, get 20% off your first purchase with code FNRadio20. And remember, wines are delivered straight to your door, so don't wait. Order now at foxnewswineshop.com and use code FNRadio20 to save. 20% discount excludes wine club offers and cannot be combined with any other promotion. Expires July 31st, 2026. Must be 21 or older to order. Please drink responsibly.
Mouth to your ears. It's Brian Kilmeade. Sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen, made for your brain.
America, you deserve and are owed an apology. And I'm going to say sorry on behalf of all the countries outside America and their media and the narrative they paint about America. Hundreds and thousands of fans for the World Cup are now seeing America through their own eyes, realizing the narrative they've been fed is false. This weird narrative that it's a place that you shouldn't go. But now the tides are changing.
That is just some of the fans that are stepping up and speaking out about the America they've seen, how much they're enjoying it. Ones that don't even have tickets to the game. They're adding so much and they're enjoying so much of this country. I know in New York City, they've taken over almost every sports bar, but they've done it peacefully. People are drinking. Usually it's combustible, high stakes sports. It's not happening. I went to a game last night. I watched Ecuador, Germany in the afternoon. I mean, from the, even though it was a long walk and people are parked a mile away, you don't know exactly where you're going. We got so much help along the way. It was in and out. I'm telling you, I walked through crowded hallways, 72,000 people, all strangers. Couldn't be nicer. And that's what I'm seeing in New York City. And I think we're seeing in Boston, Miami, as well as Philadelphia, Dallas, and around the, and certainly Los Angeles, now San Francisco, Santa Clara. So it's been great. So that's what's kind of cool about America 250. Quick note, coming up on One Nation, Sunday at 10 o'clock, got a great roster of guests, Joe Manchin, on what's going on with the radical socialists taking over the party. Why did the Democrats let it happen? Where's the leadership to stop it? I'm also going to be able to do an interview with Taylor Twellman. Taylor Twellman is one of the elite players in the MLS who's turned into a fantastic broadcaster, analyst. He's going to break down the U.S. national team, just like Kobe Jones just did for us here. We also have quite a few interviews, including I have another interview with Larry Kudlow is going to be in my B block. He's going to break down what the economic reality is. When oil goes down to the barrel to $72 a barrel, why are we not seeing $2.90 gas? The president's getting a little frustrated with it. I want to get the reality of it. Also, if we have ups and downs and gyrations with the Strait, what does it mean and what is permanently changing for the Strait? I know, for example, Qatar is rerouting its natural gas, and Saudi Arabia has taken 8 million barrels elsewhere from the Strait. Can we expect more of that down in the future? All that coming your way. So it's going to be a big, big show coming up on One Nation at 10 o'clock. And don't forget to always keep it here and see you tomorrow on Fox and Friends. Listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Furnished by IntelliBrands. Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Get an Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact. Improve your flexibility and balance. Strengthen and tone your legs.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better, and it makes me feel stronger too.
My circulation is moving. I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
It's so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. And for a limited time, get a free upgrade to our deluxe bundle with a faster motor, sport mat, and wireless remote. Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. 800-555-1212 now. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical